Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Wrestling Rehab Up podcast. I'm your host, Mari Forth, and with me, as always, my co-host, my tag team partner, the Brock Lesnar. Oh, no, I'm sorry. The CM Punk. Oh, my bad. The Roman Reigns to my Paul Heyman, Mr. Matt Scott. Matt, how you doing today?
Oh my gosh, I was wondering if you were okay for a second. I am good. I'm here comes the pain, Mari.
There
ready
you go.
Ready to do clobbering time and
things.
CM Punk would say
the next big thing, right?
The next big thing. I don't know. At what point you're the big whatever? There's so many ways we could go with this.
You're the muscle week. This week, Matt.
I'm Paul Heyman. You're Paul Heyman.
I'm Paul Heyman.
I'm Roman Reigns.
Sure.
Or am I Brock Lesnar?
Whichever you want.
I know I'm not CM Punk if you're talking about that. Never mind. He's not typically the muscle. Whatever. Happy to be here, Mari. How are you doing today? Getting off to a fire start.
Yes, as always, like we like to do. I'm doing good. You know, I'm in my house, my new house, in my new office. Finally got some internet, you know, coming off a great week of speaking about Survivor and Married at First Sight. So it's been a good week. How about you, Matt?
Look, it has been a long week, actually. I feel like there's been a ton of content, a lot of things to digest, just a lot going on. So
yeah,
that we could finally be here. It feels like it's been multiple weeks since we last podcasted, even though it's only been a week and a half.
A week and a half. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. We, because of my move and stuff like that, we weren't able to do our normal, after our SummerSlam prediction, podcast, we weren't able to do like our direct reactions and stuff like that and our, you know, our regular scheduled show. So it's nice to be back, a week and a half later. We have so much to talk about, guys. Like, warning right here, it's probably going to be a long one. So just, you know, sit back and take it all in and let us know what you're thinking. You can always use hashtag Wrestling Rehab Up. But let's get into it. I mean,
yeah, well, wait, Mari, I have to say before we get into it, shout out to you, because this week you were on the Survivor Top 40 talking about Micronesia. There was some wrestling discussion in there from what I've heard. I haven't gotten through all of the hours and hours and hours yet, but I've heard positive things. So just wanted to shout you out for that. And
thank you.
And by the way, I just wanted to bring this up before. See, this is why this will end up being a long episode, because of my random tangents. I can't believe you didn't know about the Danny Bonaducci, Johnny Fairplay back body drop situation at the Fox Reality Awards. I didn't know Rob was there, but I remember seeing it when I was way too young to be watching that stuff.
When I tell you, like, I am a Survivor casual, like, I watch the seasons and then that's it. You know what I'm saying? I'm not in the thick of it I am with Big Brother.
Yeah.
So I don't know any of the backstory. That's why it's a great listen. Listen to it. It's me asking Rob a whole bunch of like behind the scenes stuff, because it's always great to have him when it comes to stuff like that. So I really know nothing. Once those people leave the island, they literally leave my brain as well. So it was really fun podcasting. about like one of my favorite seasons and getting a lot of that background stuff from Rob and all that. So,
but speaking of one of your favorite, things, season. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to transition to this, Mari. I'm just trying to get us back on track, which is usually your job. I shouldn't even try. Who am I kidding?
Right. So, throw the playbook out the window. This is our show. We can do whatever we want. So we're gonna start with the shoot this week. So, you know, the shoot is anything unplanned, unscripted in the world of wrestling. This is our segment every week where we just go off the cuff and give you our raw emotions about something that happened in the week. So if we're gonna start the show off with the shoot, then why not talk about the
Alexa versus Eva Marie?
If you don't stop it, we're talking about the man who perfected the shoot promo, if you will. We're talking about CM Punk.
Brock Lesnar. Oh. CM Punk. Yeah, he did come back, CM didn't Punk. He? That was a thing, wasn't
that
it?
That thing happened. Yeah. Again, because of when we recorded the predictions episode before the Rampage episode that CM Punk came back on. He came back on Rampage in Chicago. He then also came to Dynamite this week. So this is our first time getting to talk about the return of CM Punk. So Matt, I'm gonna throw it to you. How did you? Yeah, here it is. I want to hear your thoughts first.
Look, so it's amazing that CM Punk actually returned, because for so long we've gotten the CM Punk chants.
Yeah.
We've gotten the teases, we've gotten the rumors, like he's negotiating contracts, he's planning on returning. Yeah. What's going to happen? Haven't gotten it. It's kind of getting, it wasn't even getting annoying, like it was kind of annoying for a long time. And so the fact that he's actually back, you know, say what you will about him, there are positives and negatives, and I do think that he might be a little bit overrated, but the numbers don't lie. He's a huge draw. He sold a ton of shirts. I think, I'm sure, breaking records for AEW and probably pro wrestling tees. And so this is great for the business that he's back. And so that's kind of where I come to at the end of the day. That's great for the business. And I'm really curious what we're even going to see, because I kind of have no idea what to expect, what CM Punk said as he made his surprise, really, debut for AEW, return to wrestling in Chicago, was just the fact that, really, you know, and we know that he, was it 2014 that he left WWE? I want to say 2014. I'm going to go with that. But he really made a point of saying it was 2005 when he signed with WWE, when he left pro wrestling. And so I'm curious to see what CM Punk, the pro wrestler, looks like, because I don't really know who that person is in theory if we didn't see that in WWE. So those are my initial comprehensive thoughts. But Mari, how about you?
So for me, I'm gonna keep it real with you, Chief.
Oh no! You have to say at least what. Hold on, let me try this. What about like one nice thing?
No, I can say a lot of nice things. I'm just starting off with the fact that I wasn't watching wrestling when he was at his height. Like, that is no secret. I'm not gonna you know, literally when he was at his biggest, that was the one time in my fandom that I took the longest like break, you know. Your 2009, 2011 to 2014 was literally the time I was completely out of the business. I came back to the business in 2014, near the end of 2014, after he had already left at the beginning. So for me, I don't have those connections to him, his wrestling in WWE. But the funny thing is, my husband, the one who he got me back into it, he was actually watching it during that span of time when we were together. I just wasn't watching it with him, you know, and he loved CM Punk and he loved the pipe bomb promo, all of that. CM Punk was his favorite wrestler. And it's what got CM Punk is what got him back into wrestling, really. So, but I just don't have that. I don't have that connection to him. So, I mean, good for everybody who does. Like, I'm not even about to sit here and act like, you know, there is some stuff about people making fun of the people crying when they saw CM Punk. Like, let's not do that. Like, we come on this show every week and say, you know, wrestling is for everybody.
Yeah.
And but some things aren't for everybody. And the CM Punk return might not, you know, scratch me right now, but you just never know in the future. But I just don't have that nostalgia tied to him. So I'm going to be looking at what he does from now on and not really looking about what, you know, from the past. And I love that there are people excited about wrestling. Like you said, this is good for business. This is bringing in people, that he is a draw, you know. He moved that needle like instantaneously. So this can only be good for the business and for the people who have been waiting years and years and years for him. So I am going to say good on him for that. And I'm not about to yuck anybody's yum. And I feel like that should be the responsible discourse that we should have about this. But that's the thing. We know this fandom. We know wrestling fans. We know AEW fans versus WWE fans. It's not going to be that respectful discord. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just not ready. I just don't feel like going through these wars again. Like I legit felt like it was finally kind of dying down just like a tad bit, at least from the initialness of it. And now I'm like, oh God, Stan Wars are coming again. And I just like, just miss me with it, because it's not for me. The going back and forth between companies.
Let me give you this too. Like, I think that what fans, I hate to say what wrestling fans do, because like this is all fandoms, but sometimes we just get tied up in here's my product or here's my company. I'm going to defend it. Everything else sucks. When in reality, like, I think that as wrestling fans, especially if you look at where the business was 20 years ago, 25 years ago during the Monday Night Wars, like stuff has shifted so much that we should just be thankful that we still have pro wrestling and that the product's still there. And like here, anytime there's something that's good for the business in the sense of like keeping it alive. And that's AEW, and WWE is still continuing to do its thing, which is definitely sports entertainment, but it's still doing it and still good for wrestling. I would say at the end of the day, if WWE didn't exist, if AEW didn't exist, we would essentially have nothing. No one would care. So, you know, I'm really thankful for that. And what I'll also say is that WWE was really horrible to CM Punk on his way out, which I have to come back to in my head, because a lot of the narrative is like CM Punk is a complainer. He just has gone on and on and complaining, and he's not coming back, and everyone wants him to come back, and he's finding excuses, and the fans want him and need him, but he's been doing his own thing. And, you know, they sent him his official release on his wedding day. AJ Lee, right? And who I love, you know, I love her. I loved her book, even Crazy Is My Superpower is her book, where she talks a lot about mental health. And I think it's just great to see her being so vulnerable and sharing so much of her story. Maybe we'll get her back one day somewhere. Who knows? That's up to her. But like, I think that I'm happy to I'm happy to see CM Punk happy. And I don't know him personally, but I'm happy to see Phil Brooks happy as a human. I think everyone deserves to be treated well and to have joy and you know, do their best. And I think we do our best work when we're happiest. So I hope that he'll be his happiest. I hope he'll do his best work, or at least have fun. And hopefully we get some of the negativity out of the way by, you know, having this run where he can thrive, and maybe we'll be able to put some of the nastiness in the past. That's my
hope. That is the hope. And like I said, for positives to say about him, he literally shifted the wrestling landscape actually with his departure. I really do feel that. I mean, with the not even just the departure, but like the pipe bomb promo, like it still lives in infamy. I think he started kind of the IWC in a way, you know, in a sense that the inner workings of a company, he was freely wanted to expose the inner workings of the company, and that's what made some of those fans want to know what was behind the scene, want to know what's going on with their favorite wrestlers. And when he made that appearance on Colt Cabana's podcast, literally that was, you know, that was when there was no such thing as a wrestling podcast. You know what I'm saying? Like this, we probably wouldn't be sitting here if Colt Cabana hadn't started that wrestling podcast, if the podcast industry itself hadn't grown, and if there wasn't a niche made just for wrestling podcasts. And with that, you know, the feature on the podcast, he busted open so much just doors behind the scenes of the industry. And it honestly like helped create this need for more knowledge from some fans. And, you know, that could either be a good or a bad thing, to be quite honest. You know what I'm saying? And with that appearance on that podcast, he also set a few of the talent back. We've mentioned on this show, Roman Reigns is still trying to get out of the hole that, you know, he tried to bury him in. So, I mean, CM Punk literally changed wrestling culture, and you can never take that away from him. Now, what side do you fall on if you appreciate what he did or he didn't? That's, you know, that's everybody's choice to decide how.
And there don't need to be, and there don't need to be sides. Like, if you didn't appreciate it, then maybe it's not for you, you know, go do your thing. But I think, and also just to give credit where credit is due, because I'm with you. I agree with you on everything you're saying with CM Punk and that Art of Wrestling podcast just being different, even though like shoot interviews and podcasts had been around really for decades, even before that, it just wasn't at the quality, and the internet wrestling community wasn't at the quality and the place that it is obviously today. I just saw a post from someone who works on WWE's social media team. I think he joined in late 2013, or I won't say December 2013 he joined, and he was saying that at the time when he joined, they had 75,000 followers on social media, and now they have 25 million on social media for WWE. So that has all changed and evolved, and I'm hoping that CM Punk could kind of keep up with all of it, and I'm sure that he can, and it's good to have him back at the end of the day, regardless of like the nitpicky opinions, and I might not like certain things about him, I love them, but I'm going to keep an open mind to it. And I think there's a high standard, a high bar that he needs to hit, so I think he's going to hit that bar. I think he knows he has to.
It's for me, again, it's just everything. What it's just seeing what they do with him from here on out. That's all I really care to see. And his first feud is with Darby Allin. So, you know, he talks about, like you alluded to, he kind of alluded that he stopped being a pro wrestler after he left, ROH. And then so he's coming back. He's saying he has something to prove against Darby Allin. He says he wants to, you know, wrestle with a lot of the young guns in the business and stuff like that, which is all fine and great. But you know how I feel about established stars and young talent. Like, you literally do need to get this young talent over. So if he's saying that that's what he wants, he's come there to do, then I really hope that's what he's coming there to do.
There's no way he can't get him over. And I mean, I don't think anyone would expect Darby Allin to win that match, especially if it is Punk's debut. But like, just being in the ring with Punk when there are going to be so many eyes on him, like, I know that if I have to pay $50 to watch that show, I'll support AEW and I don't think that's the way. I think there are some streams, some hookups. Maybe someone could come tweak my cable box.
Big boss man, can we get $50 so we can cover this? Oh, okay, you'll get back to us.
Oh, wait,
okay,
you spent it on Jacob and Chappelle. Oh, okay, we'll wait until the next time CM Punk leaves and returns.
Right, we know where we stand in the pecking order.
No. We will look. I know Rob would hook us up. He's probably listening in now, and it's like Venmo'd $25 to pay for. Wait, I guess that's not how it works. It's probably Venmo'd each of us $50 for this. Thank you, Rob. I don't even know where to find it, but we'll figure that out. So. Yeah. I guess so. I don't know, but so, it's wild. And you know, just the moment was so big. AEW was so smart with it. They put him out at the top of the show. The shirts were on sale. Again, I mentioned they sold out. So good on them. And it's a good time to be a wrestling fan. Wait, one other line, Mari.
Yeah.
That's wrestling.
Oh, God.
Okay.
And then just real quick, they're saying the rumor is for the Rampage show, because Rampage comes on directly after SmackDown on Fridays. It comes on at 10 on Fridays. They're saying that for Rampage, like all of the main event will actually be like the first thing they throw on, because they don't want to wait till the end of the show, because Rampage is an hour, because people might like be asleep. So
smart.
Does that make sense? Why not? Yes. Yeah. Which kind of brings me to maybe a little impromptu shoot here, because I don't know if I really ran it by Matt, but while we're on AEW, I feel like we just have to touch on a little bit about the chief branding officer, Miss Brandi Rhodes, because
she's always getting in trouble. Like she's, Mari, go ahead.
So Brandi Rhodes, wife of Cody Rhodes, the chief branding officer of AEW, who is currently like, I think she's still out on maternity leave because she just had her and Cody's baby girl. Congratulations. But girl, I have to say something to you. So she tweeted out last night. Again, this wasn't supposed to be a part of the show until she decided to tweet last night.
Where's my popcorn?
She says, this might start some poo emoji, but let's talk. I see a lot of people complaining on here that there aren't enough Black talent featured in wrestling. Yet, when Black talent is out there busting it in main events and holding championships, where's the love? Am I just missing it? Brandi, you're just missing it. Because how dare you? I'm sorry. This really kind of pissed me off. Because especially when we're on this podcast every freaking week.
I'm angry. That's all you need to say, Mari. Now I'm pissed.
No, like talking about how much we love Sasha, how much we love Bianca. You know what I'm saying? How much we support Big E. How much we disdain Bobby Lashley. How much in I want to say.
I think on the last episode was like, oh yeah, where's Sunny Kiss? Like every once in a while, I'm just like, whatever happened to that guy? Where is he?
Yes,
like,
you always manage to ask where Sunny Kiss is.
Yeah.
It's just very tone deaf and very just like, you can't be like this. You're basically blaming the fans, which to me actually makes me feel like you're blaming the Black fans, saying that they don't, I'm serious, saying you don't push Black talent because people don't support Black talent, when that's just a bold faced lie, especially like if you're looking at the WWE, who's had Black and African-American champions really a lot within just the past year itself, but definitely over the course of the last few years. And we know I'm being forced here to like really sit here and defend the WWE. But the only reason why I watch the WWE is for the people that I like to watch. And newsflash, they're all Black mostly. You know what I'm saying? Like newsflash. So to say that we don't support Black champions or Black people in the main event, like literally there's a whole Twitter campaign to get Sasha and Bianca the main event at WrestleMania. It trended for days and they got the main event. They even won an ESPY award, which is a fan vote. Like, what are we talking about here? Naomi trends every other day on wrestling Twitter just for showing up. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, what are we talking about here?
Let me give you this, Mari, because you are 1,000% right. But let me just give, I feel like where Brandi is coming from is a place where like I could see there hasn't always been the support, and it's definitely there now. Like this is the year. Well, it's, you know, we could only go up. We could only go up. But like this has been a year where so many Black stars have shined and have been in the championship leading spots across the business.
Yes.
Except
for one business.
This is not the time. Like, this isn't the time. This isn't the time. I have nothing to add because everything you said was perfect. But I could see how she could end up in a situation where she's like, oh, so you don't support us, when it's like, but that's not what's happening right now.
Right.
And there are a lot of people putting their support in there. And maybe it's time to amplify people like the Wrestling Wrap-Up podcast and amplify the voices who are shining and supporting rather than just like reacting to the voices that are the negative ones, because I'm sure that those exist. And I know how much it could affect someone to hear that negativity. But like, there's just so much out there, Brandy. Like, maybe we need to tweet. We'll tweet her a podcast link. It's cool.
It's just really, really
tough. We'll send her this episode.
And then to then say people are like, oh, well, you don't support the indie ones. Shout out to Trisha Dora, who's out here putting on great matches. Yes. Shout out to Billy Dixon, who, you know, we've been trying to get him. Yeah.
I don't know where.
Definitely trying to link up with him, you know, and the Paris is bumping events and stuff like that. So what are we really talking about here? And it just comes off very insulting. I don't really want to sit here and go in on Brandi Rhodes because it kind of feels like low hanging fruit at this point sometimes, but she just says some things that really irk me. Especially coming from your company, who you are the ones who don't push black talent. I'm sorry to say it. You guys are the ones aren't doing it right now.
Mari said it. It's true. And like, that's the thing. It's literally AEW is the, and it's so funny how that works out, because like, you would never think that like WWE would be the company that's like pushing all these black stars. Yeah. What happened? Thank you, WWE. And then just give that out there. But like, AEW literally is just like, it's literally like white men on white men on white men, which is like, there are a lot of talented white men there, but like, there are also other people who aren't talented who it would be great to feature. And don't at me with the one person. I don't know if they have one person.
That's what I was just about to say.
Don't do that, because that's not the point.
They always do that. But Scorpion Sky was a
I don't
want
to hear it.
Actually,
you know what? Tweet me at Matt Scotchy W. That's where you find me. And I want to see it, because I would love to hear your arguments to this point. It's not an argument, though. It's just like, we're on the same side again. And we're just trying to point out that the excellence is, so much of it's there. So much of the love and support is there. And Brandi and her company could do their part by actually putting more black people, because that's who we're talking about, in those spots.
And Brandi was like, oh, Red Velvet was just in the main event of Rampage, the one that CM Punk she lost. And like I said, the word has been out about that not being the true main event for weeks now. So,
and it was it was one person and one match.
And then somebody pointed out only four black women are employed by AEW, like Swole, Red Velvet, and Jade Cargill.
It's funny, unrelated, but, or like related, over on SmackDown, I'm sure that we'll talk about Naomi and Sonya Deville, but in the back of my head, I was like, Sonya is just telling herself, we already have enough black women here. Like, we hit our quota. Sorry. Because there are so many, do better, but no, I know that's not what was happening, but maybe it was, who knows? Let's see where the storyline goes. But anyway, shout out, because we do love our Beyonce. We don't need to keep going on about this, but like,
Jade
we're on
Cargill.
The same page, and we're going to talk
always
we're,
here
we're
about
we're going to talk about Jade Cargill. Another one, shout out to Jade Cargill, who was is amazing and is a mental health professional with a degree, who has some fire tweets over there putting the fans in order. So shout out to her.
That's why I was just a little heated about that tweet, honestly, because it just really felt like she's putting the blame on the fans. Like, she's literally trying to blame the fans for them not pushing black talent. And then, you know, and then it's, you know, some of the fan base that are like, yeah, there's not, you know, there needs to be more black talent. Like we didn't just put out a 500 best like black wrestlers out today.
She forgot what her role was, what power she has, who she is, and hopefully now she's reflecting on that and able to do something in her role to actually change what she has a problem with.
Yeah. So whatever, Brandi. Whatever.
We'll keep up with her. I think one day we'll be proud of her.
Yeah. Well,
one day.
Okay, so let's move on. If you want to get in on this conversation, you can send any long form questions. You can email us, send an email to wrestling@robhasawebsite.com. You can also use hashtag wrestling or wrap up with us on Twitter. You know, we try and chop it up as much as we can on Twitter, without giving like a lot away, you know, like when we're talking about the podcast as well. So you can always use hashtag wrestling rehab up. You can add us at wrestling rehab up on Twitter. You can definitely add me at Mari Talks Too Much on Twitter. I don't care. Come at me. I'm ready. Again, you might get a scathing retort or just a funny quip. We'll see.
I'm just angry right now that I think about it, like after the Brandy stuff. So thanks, Mari.
Yeah, my bad. Matt, where can the people find you on social media?
Matt Scott GW is where you could find me. Tweet me, follow me. So Twitter, also Stereo. That's the place. Uh-huh. And, you know, also shout out to, there are lots of other places, but you know what? Job Has a Squadcast is a great group to find me and Mari. And we're sometimes in these Twitter streets just trying to recruit people to the group. But, yep. You know, it's great because we are able to solicit questions and other thoughts and talk with a small community, a pretty intimate community of RHAP wrestling fans, if you want to be part of it. But Mari, what other plugs and things are there to plug?
So we have a podcast. It almost is. So we have a podcast feed. You can catch us on our podcast feed. Anywhere you get your podcast, look up Wrestling Rehab Up. You can also find us on YouTube. You could be watching our beautiful faces right now on YouTube at the Rob Has a Podcast YouTube page. And of course, you can join the RHAP Patreon at www.patreon.com/RHAP to get exclusive deals, exclusive content for the RHAP patron group. It's a great time to join. It's almost September. Join right around the first of the month. September 1st. Tell them that the Wrestling Rehab Up sent you.
The Mari and the Matt.
Yeah. Let them know that we sent you and get access to private podcast feeds, the patron exclusives like the 5 on 5s, the slop, Big Brother Slop on Mondays. Lots of good things that you can get access to if you become a RHAP patron. So, Matt, those are the plugs.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com. Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com. Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
Now let's get into our SummerSlam review.
Let's do it. We're ready. Where do we start?
So we have to start with, we just literally have to start with the SmackDown Women's Championship match here. Match? I don't even know if we can say the word match. But technically speaking. So if you're watching on YouTube, you'll see the beautiful picture of the amazing Bianca Belair when she was the SmackDown Women's Champion. And honestly, all of our questions this week except for maybe one, were all about this match at SummerSlam. This is one of the times I really wish we had the SummerSlam reaction pod. We normally do a SummerSlam reaction pod directly after the pay-per-view on Stereo, just to get literally our unsolicited thoughts about what we just saw. This would have been like great. Like, I'm telling you, I would have come in guns blazing that night. I'm still a little like upset, but it at this point, you know, it's been a week. So it was heavily announced that we're going to get Bianca Belair versus Sasha Banks 2. This was the match we talked about on our preview special that we were so excited to see. There were always rumblings a few days before that, you know, Sasha and Bianca were missing dates. We hadn't seen Sasha in the ring since the contract signing and all of that. And at SummerSlam, it was announced that Sasha was unable to compete, even though they showed the video package for
literally
Sasha.
In the ring.
Yeah. Bianca is in the ring. They announced that Sasha is unable to compete. Then they named Carmella as the challenger, which everybody's like, okay, we've already seen this like 50 million times. Carmella,
I mean, she is the most beautiful woman in the WWE. So obviously she earned it.
Yeah, so Carmella comes out to the ring and then Bianca is like, okay, you know, Carmella, it's whatever, but you know, Sasha, whenever the day comes, you know, we're going to do this again. And then all of a sudden Becky Lynch's music hits and you know, it's the man, Becky Lynch. She gets that pop. She gets like the people are excited. I think they said 16 months away. Yeah, 16 months. She had a baby. She's come back. You know, we've been speculating this for a week. So this, you know, this wasn't too big of a surprise. We were glad to see her. She then beats up Carmella a little bit, throws some punches at Carmella, tells Bianca, hold up for a second. And then asks Bianca, like, yeah, how about, you know, we blow the roof off this place, the man versus the EST, all very friendly, all very baby face. Bianca accepts the challenge. She goes to shake her hand and then Becky hits her and then hits her with a rock bottom. I forget what her.
The man slam. Wait, not the man slam.
Is that what it is?
No, the man handle, the handle jam man. Hand slam.
And she pins Bianca. It was in a 26 second match. Mm-hmm. Wow, that was horrendous.
Well, look, I've had a lot of time to reflect on this. Right. And I don't know what to think. Well, but here's what I'll say that, like, we'll get to SmackDown. We'll talk about that with our guests and all of that stuff. But you know I will say is that, look, if I had to defend what happened and justify it, because I kind of hate the fact that even leading up to the match, the announcers were like, here are all of the amazing things that Bianca's done this year. Here's why she's a superhero, basically. Like, not almost a superhero, a superhero. Yeah. And then we see this happen. But I do want to think, like, in kayfabe, I could picture Becky Lynch sitting at home for those 16 months, just, like, picturing the moment, like, visualizing, like, I'm going to get in there. I'm going to elbow someone in the throat, and then I'm going to hit them with the man slant, which... it's a manhandle pump slant rock Becky bottom. I don't know the words, but anyway, it's just like I picture her picturing it. Bianca was not ready. Bianca had prepared for Sasha and then had to shift to Carmella. And then had to shift to Becky all of a sudden, Becky, who she has never faced. And so it makes sense that she was caught off guard. It was shocking that it was that bad. But I do think we're going in a good direction, especially if this is the Becky Lynch heel storyline. Because I think that there's something there that could kind of lead Bianca to that next level, to new heights.
Well, I'm trying to still get into the thought process of that night. And now that night, I was pissed, to be quite honest.
Mostly because, you know what? Like, let me go. She was treated like trash. And this is okay. Here's what I'll say. In the moment, my feelings, like, I felt like she was kind of treated like trash and discarded, because it did feel like it could have been a situation where it's like, let's discard of Bianca. Becky's back. Now she's the champion. Now Bianca could be like upper mid card, but not the main event. It just felt like a very unstable position for Bianca's place in the card. I don't still feel that way after SmackDown, but I worry about her, and especially with the fans cheering, it just felt a little gross. Like, we, that this is our hero Bianca, and now you're cheering for Becky? What? But yeah, the fans are coming around. I think it seemed like, honestly, even then they were booing a little bit, or not as happy as they probably should have been.
I was about to say, because like I saw that and I was like, wow, it's just very annoying, because, you know, Bianca was carrying that division on her back, you know, since WrestleMania. You know, Sasha had just came back a month prior, you know, and her and Sasha still didn't even lock up again, really, like that. So Bianca was carrying the company on her back. Just the night before, she was in a match with both Selena and Carmella, I think separately or something like that. And she beat both of them, you know, so she was built up so much as a superhero. And then like you said, and then have her just go out like that. And it's true. Like, I think that they are spinning it to the point where it's like, she's still a newcomer. She, you know, trusted Becky. And if they're going with a Becky heel turn, yes, this makes sense. They better not go with the Bianca heel turn, because this just does not make sense in this story to me. You know, and it didn't look like that on SmackDown. We'll talk about that, but it was just disheartening. I think it was mostly disheartening just because we saw what they did to Kofi, and we were just all hoping that wasn't going to happen to Bianca. Shoot, we just saw what they did to Rhea. You know what I'm saying? With Rhea and Nikki A.S.H. with Charlotte on the other side. You know, so it gets really scary when you get the belt taken off somebody like that. But I just do think that Bianca is such a star that no matter what, she's going to be okay. Mostly because, and the only reason why I kind of think that is because I went online and I was, you know, Becky Lynch is one of the most over people, but even Becky Lynch fans were like, oh, I didn't like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, there was so much like people like, man, why they do Bianca like that? That I was like, oh man, okay, this is good. You know?
Yeah.
This is
good. Yeah. The thing that's gross too about it is just like, Bianca, there's so much raw emotion from Bianca.
Yeah.
And just the fact that she could be in like a negative position, like losing, and people could cheer, that kind of hurts. It's like, I imagine even being in that spot, even if I were her, knowing what might be coming up, if it's positive, if that's what the plan is, just like having people cheer for someone else who's holding your championship, who has, it's just a lot. It's a lot.
Yeah, but it is, it's Becky Lynch. So it's not like, you know, it's not like they did that if Carmella would have beat her.
No, but Bianca also, Becky Lynch. It is Becky Lynch.
And it is a crowd. It's a hot crowd on a pay-per-view.
And the crowd didn't even look that hot in the moment too, because they were confused. And like, they were very confused.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, we like Becky, but like.
Yeah, they were very conflicted. Yes. I think the crowd was just as conflicted as the internet, and Bianca got a lot of love on SmackDown, so that's why I do feel good about it. But it just is like, and then the rumors are is that Becky still might not be the reason, she might not be in ring shape, because she's clearly in shape, but you know, you still got to knock that dust off. So like, it's just like, why are we putting the title on a champion who's not ready to go, when we literally just had the title on a champion who goes all the time? So I guess it just makes sense that this has to be a Becky heel turn here.
It's cool. It's fine. It's cool. I think it's going to be nice because we like to have Bianca up against Becky, I think, is a positive. So that's the good news. You know what? I think at the end of the day, if they're in the ring together, regardless of what happens, like, this is just another thing for Bianca to face and to overcome this year. And actually, it's cool, like, to shift away from the Sasha thing, which is great. And maybe Sasha will get back into this, right?
Yeah.
But to shift away from it, even like if they are to Becky, it's just new. It's fresh. It's not spinning the wheels. And I like that for Bianca.
Yeah. So real quick, we have, like I said, we have a few questions from the great Edmo.
That's right.
Edmo. We got, they kept promoting Sasha versus Bianca when clearly they knew that wasn't happening the night before or even the night of. As a money match, do you feel this was the right move? Should they have promoted Bianca versus a mystery opponent or even gone with maybe a pre-show match between a few of the women to determine the new number one contender? How would you have booked the situation? Not necessarily the match, because we all know how that was definitely a choice. So yeah, this is what we were talking about. They rumors are they knew 8 days before the pay-per-view that it wasn't going to be Sasha versus Bianca, that Sasha was out. Those are the rumors. We don't know. But they definitely knew the night of, you know, they definitely knew the night before. There's so many conflicting rumors that say like Sasha didn't even fly out to Vegas, when there are other people who are like, yeah, she was there. I don't know. I don't really get into that, but they definitely knew, and there was a choice, but I don't think it's that bad of a choice, because like, okay, say they promoted Bianca and Sasha, and then we really did just get a Carmella match. Now that would have been infuriating, but because because you got the Becky Lynch of it all, you did sub out one star for another. So people shouldn't feel as cheated. I'm more mad about that we were cheated out of an actual match. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was ready for a Bianca Sasha. I was so excited for the match itself, because I love when they have a match together.
Yeah.
And so when we also got the Becky swerve, I was like, ooh, a Becky Bianca match. You know, that's what I want to see. I want to see a match. Ooh. And we got no match. I think that's a lot of crux of a lot of people's people were mad, is because we still didn't even get a match at all. You know, we got a squash. So I would have wanted at least a match.
Here's what I'll say. I hate this. I wouldn't change anything about how they booked
it. I wouldn't either. It makes sense.
Yeah. Now. Just because of like the reaction.
But I still wanted a match that night.
The reaction and like, and what it's been and how people are still talking about it and probably will still be referencing that for a while. Mm-hmm. I think that's a positive, even as opposed to like, because if Becky still, you know what, that would have been even worse.
It would have been worse.
If a hard fought match and Becky wins where she earns it, like, no, we don't have time for that.
Yeah.
But you know, a nice elbow to the throat. I'm going to say it's the throat. It was the throat. It, from my angle, it looked like the throat, which hurts a lot. Mm-hmm. And then she got slammed down onto the throat again with the Becky bottom. And I just kind of feel like, you know what? I'm okay with how they did it.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it.
It was a squash that kind of also protected Bianca. So I get it. It still just pissed me off from that night, because that was the match I was excited about.
Yeah, totally. But like, no one thinks, and to your point, like, no one thinks that Bianca's any weaker because of it. That's the thing. And I guess I do have to appreciate how much they were hyping up, like, ooh, Royal Rumble winner, main event in WrestleMania, did this, did that, boom, 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 boom. It's like, oh, okay, you're reminding us how strong she is. So even in the face of this loss, she's not going to look like a punk.
Yeah, they've done way better with trying to protect Bianca than they did again with like Rhea or Nikki or Kofi when Kofi lost because we are getting a lot of Bianca Kofi comparisons, and I get it. It's really easy to make that comparison and make that leap of logic, but it's clearly not going to play out like the Kofi thing, because like once the Kofi thing happened, Kofi just like, you know, never came back for the title, you know. So we're clearly not getting that, so that's a good thing. We also got a question from Derek B. He said, optimistic, this is how he prefaces, Bianca played SummerSlam perfect. Her facial expressions, from being ready to confused to upset about Sasha, then pissed off about Carmella, then happy about Becky, was chef's kiss. Also, if they wanted to, and it's smart, they can call back to her being a rookie, as Sasha called her, with Becky saying, like, why would you be happy to see me? You know, you should have known better. So Derek he's quite right here. All things aside, Bianca is just so good with the acting portion of wrestling as well. Her face is so expressive. Mm-hmm. Bianca is just amazing. We talk about it all the time, especially during like that contract signing a few weeks ago. She knows how to utilize her beautiful, beautiful face. And it was everything. It sold the story. And it's one of the reasons why we're still invested in her and her journey after this. And again, I'm just really glad she's not, it does not seem like she's going to be the turn heel. We've seen her chase championships. That's literally all she did in NXT, unfortunately, was chase, but it's just because she's really good at it. If, you know, she's a baby face that's really good at chasing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, again, I'm not that mad about it now, but I just wanted a match that night, you know?
Yeah.
And then, finally, we just had the great Chappelle, our third/fourth chair, say why they play in my girl face like that. Chappelle, we
good
not
question.
Know.
Yeah. Good question, Chappelle. And you know what? I think, you know, to borrow from what's her name? I don't care for her that much. She's really annoying. Ooh. On Big Brother. Caitlin Herman. It's all for the highest good. It's all for the highest good. Right? Right,
Chappelle? Yes. Yeah.
Shout out to Chappelle. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Chappelle, make a run in on this podcast sometime. Just surprise.
I know.
Us.
We miss you already.
If you need to. We miss you.
All right. So I think that's we'll talk
that's
more
all
about
of our
that.
Questions.
That's all that's all of the questions for the SummerSlam portion.
Okay.
For Becky and Bianca.
We will have a part two in the SmackDown section.
Yes. Yes, we will. All right. We also had the Universal Championship match between Roman Reigns and John Cena. Roman retained in what was a really good match, I thought. And then Brock Lesnar showed up. So first off, how did you feel about the match itself, Matt?
It was a match.
Really?
You know, it was a match. It was a good match. It was a good match. Mm-hmm. But like, I wasn't surprised in any way about what we got. I was expecting it. It was just a hard hitting match. They always deliver. And I guess the one thing that there were a few things that were notable to me with this match. Like, number one, I have to talk about John Cena's hair because I was sort of,
it's so distracting.
It kind of felt like a silver. I don't know what it was, but he kind of reminded me of, like, do you remember Chet from the Challenge from Real World? He had like a very, goofy kind of, that's what I got from Cena in this one. But you know what? The match was really solid and I liked that Roman sent the Usos to the back. I liked, you know, that, and you know what? The thing I liked the most and appreciated the most about this was that Cena does have his five moves of doom. He used them and basically only used them, but he uses them so artfully constantly. Like, I just love that he is like we always talk about the five moves of doom as fans, but like the reality is Cena makes it so that like it's not about the moves, it's about the story, and he is such a great storyteller and proves you don't need to have like a 50 move set in order to be impressive. So I did appreciate it, but to me it was just kind of like, it wasn't surprising. It did help me appreciate Cena more than I probably did before the match.
I literally called the booking of the match. I said you had because John Cena kind of called it too. Like he took a whole bunch of punishment.
Yeah.
He did his five moves. And right when you think, okay, he did the five moves, dang it, Super Cena is back. He's going to take this championship. Roman kicks out and then gets the pin. And that's literally what happened. And I love logical conclusions. I love logical storytelling. Mm-hmm. So I really like this match. And it really, I mean, say what you want about John Cena, but when he comes back, he really goes. You know what I'm saying?
He
like, he legit goes. So
he does.
You cannot hate that process.
No.
You know, especially in comparison to some other part-timers who came back on this card itself. He took such a great beating. Him and Roman have really good chemistry. Roman taunting the fans throughout the match. And then just getting really a pivotal win on John Cena was just... It was chef's kiss. It was just perfect. And then we get the beast, Brock Lesnar, returning. I don't know if I'm on record, but I'm not the biggest Brock Lesnar fan. But this was
He's questionable. He is questionable in many ways. But I mean, also, why did he look like one of the sexy muscle friends? That's all I'm going to say. Ah! He literally, with his little ponytail. Yeah, so funny. I like his look here.
Cowboy boots. I mean, yeah. It's just great because when Roman and Brock square off, it's always good. I mean, always. We'll see how this goes. It's a different level of storytelling because now we have heel Roman and whatever the hell Brock is. Mm-hmm. And then the biggest thing you see, Paul Heyman there, if you're watching us on YouTube, this great picture with Paul Heyman in the background there. And I always love how Paul Heyman talks about the differences between like Roman and Brock. So this is going to be, it's just going to add a layer to it. And we'll talk about it on SmackDown, but mm-hmm. This is great. I mean, this is what WWE needs. You need these big money matches. Roman is just so hot right now. He just passed 1 year as champion.
Wow.
They are. Yeah. So they're bringing out the big guns, and this is what was needed. Definitely. So this should be a good storyline.
I'll also throw in that it was after the show was over, but they've showed it in some of the highlights that Brock hit an F5 on John Cena. Just mm-hmm. So we'll see if that even turns into anything. But I think it's interesting because I've seen it a bunch on the highlights. On Raw they showed it. So interesting choice. I don't know. I feel like they probably did show a segment of it at some point because it was in the highlights. But
it was, yeah.
But I also think it might have been like at the start of Raw in the highlights of SummerSlam. So I don't really. It was strange. We'll see if that turns into anything. But great job by Cena, and it is good to have Brock back. I've always like kind of sold for his intensity, and so that's kind of where I am now.
Yeah, selling exactly.
A little bit, and we'll see. It's good, you know. It's a rumor says that he's been signed for I think it's like 2 years and at least 8 matches back. Mm-hmm. Which like I do get very annoyed by the allegedly 2 matches a year that Goldberg has. So maybe like we'll get more. I don't know. We'll see how annoyed with the limited Brock appearances. It would be great to have him back full time. I mean. You know, why not?
Like, was Brock at least, like, him being a part-timer, it moves the needle. It makes more sense. It makes stuff feel bigger. And 8 matches, at this point, he's been working that type of part-time, full-time schedule.
So that is just 7 years.
Yeah.
7 years now.
7 years. Yeah, exactly. So you're used to it. But Goldberg, I mean, I guess, is that what's next? Let's just get into it. Forget it, you know.
Who? Goldberg?
Yeah, no, let's get into it. So we got Goldberg versus Bobby Lashley, and that was so disappointing. When you talk about like people did not like the Goldberg Bobby Lashley match.
Really?
Yeah, I mean it was short.
Oh, I'm just so fascinated by this because I liked what the match was for what it was.
I mean, I think it's just we're all, you know, it's different from Brock. Brock comes back when he does 8 matches. They feel good. They feel like a match. Like this was just, it was kind of slow. It was all power moves or whatever. And then we just got like Bobby Lashley, you know, taking out his knee. We got ref stoppage, which everybody's like, oh God, that means Bobby's going to have to wrestle Goldberg again. We got Goldberg's son coming in. Bobby Lashley choking out a 15.
I loved it.
We should not be laughing at this, but my God.
It's wrestling, Mari. It's not. It is predetermined. And I like to see
a Gabe full high schooler
beat down, pretty
choked out.
I love because we kind of like at some point, I know we had to joke about this or talk about this on the predictions episode. And I'm glad that there was physicality. It makes me nervous that he's like 15 years old, maybe.
Yeah.
But hey. Maybe he'll like learn how to take a chair shot and then we'll get like, or blade, right? We're getting
the whole experience. Oh God, no, let's not with minors.
It was obviously a very safe situation and you know, mm-hmm. but I like that they went there with the story. Yeah, it felt kind of meaty, and it's like, I still have the question of it, like, is Goldberg written off for a while? It seems like it. And
so what it is Goldberg is going to wrestle. They're going back to Saudi Arabia in October or something like that. So
WWE's favorite place.
Yeah. So apparently that's the rumors that he'll defend against Goldberg in Saudi Arabia. So Goldberg always comes back to get that Saudi blood money. So
I mean, it's a lot of money.
Yeah. So that was, I mean, it was interesting, I guess. I just like, they just protected Goldberg here basically and gave them an excuse to keep wrestling. And I thought it was kind of funny how MVP, like after the match, MVP was like, Bobby Lashley didn't know that was a 15-year-old. He thought it could have been anybody attacking him. Anyways, we win. Bye.
I appreciate that. But at the same time, like, there was a whole other way you could have gone with that. Like, the 15-year-old got in his ring and attacked him. So it was justified.
They were like, oh, no, bye. Like,
so I will funny. Say, too, like, I did feel like, it's so funny. I was about to call Gage Nicholas, whatever his referee, the referee's name, sons. But anyway, no, I feel like Gage messed up here. He should have gone for, like, a chop block or, like, Goldberg in the knee. Like, take a lesson from MVP Lashley, too. Like, yeah, just copy them. Like, go for that. Don't go for the neck. That's not going to work.
Yeah.
We
see how thick his neck is.
Yeah, that's where he made mistakes. So that was kind of a mess.
That was funny.
Yeah.
All right. So we also have the Raw Women's Championship match.
Ooh. Raw Women's Championship. How did you feel?
So the match itself, serviceable.
Oh, before we get to the result, let's just take in this final time that we'll see.
Final image here.
Nikki A.S.H., a.k.a. Nikki Cross, a.k.a. Nikki Ash, holding her championship. And then this match happens.
I'll give it to them. The match was very, it felt very fast. It did feel like they were like going. It had some moments. I was like, but predictably we got Charlotte put Nikki Ash in the figure eight and Nikki tapped out. So Charlotte is your Raw Women's Champion again for the 12th time. And who did this help? Who did this feud actually help?
Okay, Mari, let me just, we've talked about this feud so much. Here's what I'll give you. And the thing that occurred to me, you know, I've never been that excited about Nikki Ash. I've never been that excited about Rhea Ripley. And I feel like WWE has kind of been the same way. I didn't think about it, but like when you look at Bianca Belair and then you look at Rhea and you look at Nikki, there's just different levels of these people. And so they weren't trying to get over Nikki, and they were minimally trying to get over Rhea Ripley. So you know, it's like, I'm not surprised that they go back to Charlotte. I just don't know who would be like the person who gets one over on Charlotte. But
right, exactly.
I kind of get it, because it's like, not, you're not trying to elevate everybody. You're trying to elevate the people who could be the stars. And I personally don't see that for,
which is just Charlotte,
either of Charlotte's opponent. I don't see that for Nikki or Rhea personally.
That's so, I just don't, but you'll never see it if they don't drag push me. Them. Yeah, I mean, especially
drag me on
Rhea.
Twitter, Mari, at @ScottGW.
Especially Rhea, though, like, because again, when this feud started, like I said, if they had really just went all in on Rhea and had Rhea like learning from Charlotte and being like, "Well, I got you," you know, you said who could get Charlotte? If Rhea could have been the one that said, "I got you," and they could have pushed her into the stratosphere just like they did with Bianca, but they didn't. And like, they didn't. And it's so unfortunate, because Rhea's right there. Like, I mean, it's weird because, again, I still kind of do feel, I do agree with the fact that Rhea is very green, but you're never going to not be green if you're not given the reps. And
no, that's true.
You know what I'm saying?
That's true for everything.
That's true for everything. And it's just, I don't know. It's just so weird to me because I really do feel like she does, she has it. And we'll talk about like Raw and stuff like that. But it just, going into that feud, the main thing I was thinking was like, wow, I'm pretty sure I said it months and months ago, Rhea needed that win back from Charlotte and she never got that win back. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? She's just lucky that they inserted Nikki A.S.H. at the last moment so that she didn't look all foolish and that we try to get us to forget that this started out as a Rhea versus Charlotte feud that Rhea lost.
Yeah, you know? And I'm not even mad at Charlotte winning here, but I will say that I am, if there's like really one thing that I'm kind of disappointed by, they still don't, I mean, last I checked last week, they still weren't selling Nikki A.S.H. masks on WWE shop. Like that's always going to bother me because it's like so clear that they don't care. I'm sure they're selling Drew McIntyre swords and like, all sorts of other, they're probably selling Matt Riddle flip-flops, who cares? But they're not selling the masks. And that tells you kind of where they saw things going.
Everything you need to know. Mm-hmm.
Everything you need to know. It's real.
I mean, I think I've been talking about how Nikki, A.S.H., A.S.H., whatever, was not a real contender the moment that they decided to prematurely put the title on her. And it's just, I mean, I don't know. It was it a way to pad Charlotte's resume some more to have Nikki be able to say she was a champion for 30 days? Like, it just, I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway. Mess. Exactly. So that's all of the big titles, should we say.
Yeah.
Let's go to what could arguably be called the match of the night. Edge versus Seth Rollins. We get the Edge Brood entrance, which was just phenomenal. I love Edge's, like, him talking about he had to go to a dark place to beat Seth. It was just so good.
He had to go to the production truck, the Shadowy production truck, and request some flames. You could literally see in the picture, one of the pictures over here on YouTube, there is literally a person with, a fire extinguisher in the corner, crouched down, making sure that this man doesn't burn like the Undertaker did that one time. So you know what, I appreciate that he went to that dark place, and so it was amazing. Kind of cool looking on his intro.
So cool.
Yeah, and like even his normal intro is cool, and just he looks insane. That's the thing.
Yeah,
I'll never forget.
This is some storytelling. This is some good storytelling.
It really
because
is.
It's like I wouldn't have known they were going this route. Going into this feud, to be quite honest. I love like callbacks to previous characters. It's always just so like interesting, you know, especially when it fits the narrative, and especially when he like he did it in a way that was also modern, you know what I'm saying? So the match itself was just a banger, good on Seth, good on Edge. Like Edge going, like, again, like if you're going to be 40 something years old in the ring, you need to go. And this is why we appreciate Edge. This is why we appreciate John Cena. This is why we appreciate Brock Lesnar and stuff like
that. Yeah. And you know what? I have to apologize because on the predictions episode, I was saying I'm not that excited about this match or this feud. And this match for me was the match of the night easily. But I liked all of the different things that they did. Like they had Edge hit a glam slam a la his wife, Beth Phoenix, on Seth, which was great. We saw Seth reverse a spear into a pedigree, which definitely is a callback to the authority era. Yeah. We saw so much greatness. So this was a lot of fun. And you know, one thing that has like bothered me for a while about Edge in this last several months is just I feel like he moves. It's not that he moves slow. He is not slow, but he he does move very slow at times, and it's literally just called selling. Like, he's just selling the boots. Like, and I get annoyed by it, but then I have to remember, like, okay, it's because I'm not going to mention another wrestling company or anything, but like, I think of the Young Bucks, you know, and they, it's just like a lot of no selling. Yeah. And like, compared to that, I do appreciate that Edge takes things very much from a storytelling slow standpoint. So I was, I was here for it.
Yeah, that's funny. I didn't even think about
and
that.
And then let me just also, the finish.
Oh yeah. The crossface, right?
The crossface, which then turned into Edge slamming Seth Rollins' face into the mat about a dozen times before the finish. That was beautiful. It was all so great. Oh my God. They need to do this all over again. I don't care what I'll say later.
Yeah.
Tired of it.
It was just so good. It was great. They stole the show there, and I think Stan predicted that. I want to say, but
sure,
amazing. All right, so just got a few more. Like, the rest are just kind of like meh. We got the SmackDown Tag Team Championship match. The Usos were the champions. They went against the Mysterios. They retained. There was also some like undercurrent of, you know, Ray, like Dominic not pulling his weight and all of this. Okay, whatever. We got the United States Championship match between Sheamus and Damian Priest, which I also thought was pretty good. And Damian Priest ended up coming away the United States champion, which, I mean, the arena exploded with that. Really good for Damian Priest. I'm so excited for him. Can't wait to see that run.
And you know, no, I just loved his intensity. Like, and we'll get to this in Raw, but like, he is looking like, to me, he looks a lot better than he's looked all this year. Like, I'm not referring to this specific picture that we have, but just like the fact that he does look like more of a star than he's been this year. And he was with Bad Bunny earlier this year. Rub. So the fact that he's on the way up. So very happy about everything with Damian Priest.
Yeah, the crowd was really happy. I think everybody was really happy with that win. I'm so excited to see where he goes with that. We got Drew McIntyre versus Jinder Mahal. Predictably, Drew McIntyre wins. Okay. And then finally we got We got the Raw Tag Team Championship. It should be a finally. The Raw Tag Team Championship match, AJ Styles and Omos, who were the champions, versus Randy Orton and Riddle, aka RK-Bro. And then RK-Bro won. All right, sure. Like, we're taking the belts off of another, from one slapdashed tag team to another slapdash tag team.
Yeah. And you know what? Let me just say, I always think of this as, like, in my head, this is always the Stone Cold Triple H dynamic when they teamed together. And I think it was like the two-man power trip.
This was
20 years ago now, plus 20 plus years ago. And like, you know, we've also seen this with Kane and Daniel Bryan. WWE has chosen to do this dynamic in favor of a strong, not in tag favor, team. In done this dynamic. Yeah, I think in instead, favor of yeah, a strong, yeah. instead of the right, exactly.
Yeah.
We need a dictionary or the grammatician. Okay. So anyway,
let's keep going.
I'm just saying, I like that, you know, they're not trying to build the teams, and that's a choice that they've made, and it's very clear. But you know what? They have so many stars. Like, where else are they supposed to put Randy Orton and AJ Styles and Riddle? Like, it's the tag team championships. Whatever. We can move on. This was too much time spent on that match.
And then finally, like I said, which should have not been on the card, we got Alexa Bliss versus Eva Marie.
Eva Marie, I'm sorry. Again, I have to issue another public apology about joking about her in 5-star matches. I would like to see it. I also think that we're probably more likely to see pigs fly than we will to see a 5-star match from Eva Marie. But we did get the end of that match, so Alexa wins, of course. But we got the breakup of Doudrop and Eva Marie, and Doudrop has that fancy robe that she's able to move on with. So good for her that she had some memorabilia to take with her at the end of her summer internship. Good for her. That's what it is. It was a summer internship. Well, I didn't lie.
And yep, you did not lie.
No lies. So
yep. So, ooh, Eva Marie. Okay. Well, all right. Yeah,
we can move on.
Yes, we can. That's, so
yeah.
Ooh. I was still having some internet issues, so I did not get to watch NXT TakeOver 36. So I just, I know what happens, but Matt did. Matt, just any quick thoughts about NXT TakeOver 36? I know we said we were going to try and address really them, but I just wasn't able to do it, people.
No, you know, we're going to do this. We're going to make it. I'm looking at the clock. We're going to make this 90 seconds to 2 minutes. There so Cameron Grimes defeated LA Knight with the help of Ted DiBiase. Awesome. And, awesome stuff. Ted DiBiase does not have to go into forced servitude, which is good. And so we like that. Raquel defeated Dakota Kai, and Kaylee Ray came out and stood at the top of the ramp. So we're probably going to see that next. I wonder if Dakota is going to move on to the main roster at some point, because she was having some dark matches. We'll see. But Kaylee Ray, former NXT UK champion, we saw her in the Mae Young Classic. Who knows what we'll see? Then we saw Walter versus Ilya. Are we going at the right pace, Mari?
Keep going. Yeah, keep going. Good. Yeah.
Okay. So Walter versus Ilya Dragunov. What a match. Stan C told us to look out for it. Mm-hmm. It was hard hitting. Ilya Dragunov walked into that looking fine. He had a little cut over his eye. By the end, his chest was just like lit up, bruised up, chopped up. But he did end the 870 day reign of NXT UK champion Walter. So I'm curious what they'll do next. Days. Who knows? Jesus. It ended with a sleeper hold. So, good for him. Great stuff. Awesome.
Okay.
After the match, Ilya Dragunov mentioned, the ring general, Walter, is dead. Long live the czar. So I like that they're doing a thing there. Okay. Whatever. Adam Cole lost to Kyle O'Reilly. Probably not going to see him again. Who knows? We don't know what's happening with Adam Cole. Yeah. We'll talk about that at some point in the future once it's a lot more clear. But great match. And it ended.
Did it go to the steel cage?
It went to the steel cage. So it went to the third fall where Cole cuffed Kyle O'Reilly to like the top rope. And then somehow Kyle O'Reilly actually ended up grabbing Adam Cole's leg in a super kick and then doing a leg lock and tapping Cole out. So it kind of came out of nowhere. That was a thing. And then, and then Samoa Joe beat Karrion Kross with the muscle buster, which I
called it.
I did call it, but like there's only so many options. So that was NXT TakeOver. And I'm sorry, I went over my self assigned 90 seconds.
Yeah, you're self-imposed.
Yeah.
That's fine with me.
But, I mean, it's also that's we can cool. really get into the highlights and to our guest and all that fun stuff today.
Yep. Yep. So that's it for our SummerSlam review and our quick NXT TakeOver review. Let us know what you think by using hashtag Wrestling Rehab Up or following us at Wrestling Rehab Up on Twitter, or just adding both of us at Mari Talks Too Much and at Matt Scott GW.
That's right.
So let's jump into our regularly scheduled program, our highlight of the week. But we cannot do this alone. We always have to have an amazing guest. So Matt,
can't do it alone.
Take it away.
All right. Making his way to the podcast, hailing from the one, the only, Brooklyn's own, please welcome, you heard him on BP and the Can 9 podcast, the Survivor Top 40. He started this year talking about Kid Nation, and we're going to give him all of the gold stars. So all I could tell each and every one of you, if you're not happy about today's guests, you can deal with it. It's Phil Thompson. Phil, welcome to the podcast. Welcome to the Wrestling Rehab Up. We're here. We're doing it live. Let's go. How's it going?
Wow. Da-da-da-da-da. I love that. I've never heard of like the wrestling announcer like doing a little sing-along. Oh, yeah. No, thank you guys so much for having me. I'm doing pretty well. I've been awesome. Yeah. It's been weird. I haven't podcasted like with any like real RHAP people
in too long.
Yeah. Since BB Can 9. But I'm just been like trying to. I just moved recently, so I'm trying to like get my bearings.
Join the club.
You moved too. Okay, so that's Mari just moved. The one and only Rob Sesternino, Nicole Sesternino just moved. Taryn. Puya, Liana, Melissa just moved. Everybody's moving.
Everybody's moving. So
you're in the club. Look at that. How was the move?
It was good. It was just like. Like it was a lot, and like it was the first, like my first really like adult move. You know, I moved out of like my college house to like trying to like live like I'm trying to be a normal
adult.
Person.
Look at that.
Yeah, we see it. You said adulting.
Yeah.
That's a big peeve. I don't like that. That's my big peeve. Me and Akiva, we don't like adulting as a term.
Well, sorry. Who cares? All right. We are so happy to have you. We pulled you out. We're like, you know, one person we want on this, you know, to have the season was Phil. So
that's right.
When we originally heard you were taking a podcasting hiatus, we were very sad. But I'm so glad I reached out to just check in and you were able to come on with us. So we really do appreciate you.
Yeah, especially like talking about one of my favorite things in the entire world, WWE, like something I think about all the time.
Wait. I was like, come on.
We didn't know this already.
I was keeping it from you guys. No, actually, it was fun to watch go through some of these clips because I've actually haven't really seen that much of it. And so being able to learn so much about this was definitely really, really funny.
That's our first question to all of our guests. Like, what is your history with wrestling, with WWE, with whatever? What is your lay it out for the people?
Like when I think about WWE, like the first thing I think about is like elementary school lunch boxes. Like I remember when I was a kid, like all my friends had like the Rock lunch box and they had the John Cena lunch box. Like I know, I kind of know all these people or the bigger characters, and especially like you guys know, like I'm a big movie guy. So
yeah.
I love, you know, like the idea of like these wrestling personas, like these actors, like being able to like cross over into like, especially like mainstream action movies is such like, it makes total sense. And like, you can totally kind of see that like in like a lot of these like actors, like personalities and stuff like that. So yeah, mm-hmm. I've kind of just known like, you know, The Rock and, you know, Dave Bautista and John Cena and like those type of people. I love Dave Bautista. I've never actually seen it, you know, like anything from WWE before. No SmackDown, no Raw. I used to play some video games of it, but that was basically it.
That's how a lot of people actually like got into wrestling, through the video games. So it's not surprising too, but it's always interesting to think about like what hooks people, because for me, I was really exposed to wrestling through the video games. So you never really know what's going to be the thing that kind of hooks you to this wild, wonderful, whimsical world of wrestling.
Exactly. And you know, they are actors, really. You know what I'm saying? They really are. They're acting. They do their own stunts. You know, some are better than others, but that is, you know, the sports entertainment of it all. So we're just really happy to see you here and expose you to some clips, and we're going to just get your thoughts on some of the stuff. So let's not waste any time.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
We're going to get into the highlights of the week. This is what you need to know. All of the highlights of the week can be found in a very handy playlist, either in your show notes, in your podcast descriptions, or in the show descriptions on the YouTube channel. So feel free to follow along using the handy dandy highlights playlist. So we're going to start with Raw. So with Raw this week, it was just, I mean, it was just like, okay, when you get your, when you get those, your TV, the episodes right after the pay-per-view, you just kind of never know what you're going to get. You know what I'm saying? You just never know if it's going to be something really big or whatever. But we got Bobby Lashley and MVP. You know, they're celebrating their SummerSlam win. They're basically trying to explain away the whole putting hands on a 15-year-old. And also just like, who's next? You know, Goldberg is done. Who's next? And then they are greeted by the new USA champion,
Mari, you messed that up. It's the, according to Tiffany Haddish at SummerSlam.
Oh my God.
He's the national champion, the first ever national champion.
Did she say that?
She did.
Oh my God. I must have missed that. That's
also
hilarious.
I love this picture, by the way, of him getting punched in the face.
Yeah, by Lashley. So this was pretty cool. Damian Priest, like, he got a really good fan reaction here. You know, champion versus champion stuff. Yeah, you know, because it's kind of like, you know, you don't know if somebody's going to put like a double champion, you know, on. But I like where this is going, kind of. But this is what I think we just discussed. This is kind of probably a filler thing, because no matter what, Goldberg is probably going to get that title shot at Saudi Arabia. Phil, what did you think of this first clip here of just Damian Priest confronting Bobby Lashley?
Yeah, I mean, this was the first WWE clip I've ever seen in my entire life. And so I was kind of like I was very interested by like the fact that the announcer was like really getting into it. And the announcer was like kind of like, you know, was also like playing up that character in the funny way. Bobby Lashley was definitely like, he was an interesting persona, because like he kind of looked like he was just like holding in like a shit like the entire time. You know? like he was kind of
like just like, mad.
Yeah. Super like just like staring and yeah. But then like also I kind of love how like Damian Priest like got Lashley to smile. Like, did you see that one point in the clip? Because, you know, Lashley had that like he was stern faced the whole time. Mm-hmm. And then like Damian Priest like was saying something to him, and then like you kind of, I saw like a little bit of a smirk out of Lashley. I don't know if he does that regularly, but that was
No. Yeah, and I'll say too, like, it's, yeah, you got a lot of those moments in wrestling, and this is a good, maybe like kind of, well, actually, this is a pretty typical wrestling clip, except for the fact that I know it's not just me. For the longest time, so Bobby Lashley loves to come out in his suits and he's well dressed, but I swear I've never seen anyone like as much as him have to go to the back to get changed for a match. Like, all year it's just been like, okay, wait right here. I have to just get my wrestling clothes on. It's like, you are a wrestler, sir. You just need to show up dressed. Like, don't.
No, he's the champion. The champion always comes in a nice
suit.
Rip
the suit off.
No, that is... No.
Exactly.
By the way, let me just say... Maybe
Seth Rollins and his cheap suits can rip it off, but that is custom made. That is probably Versace or Armani Exchange. That is the champion you are talking about there, Matt. He doesn't wear rip-away suits. Look at that.
Okay, but why did he look like Jim Carrey in the mask? This past
stop
week.
It. Oh, stop it. That is men's fashion.
Fitted to the literally, extreme. Maybe a little bit too fitted. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Looking at his, what I'm assuming is a Rolex on. He can't fight in that.
He looks like the Nickelodeon blimp, Mari. Like, leave it alone. I mean, look. I said what I said, and I
you said that shit.
And I said that shit is what I was about to throw in there too.
Listen, if he's the champion, I'm just like confused as to how he does. Like, he doesn't have the technology to like invent like a fighting suit, but having some kind of suit that he could both, you know, go to work in, do his business stuff, and then also like beat people up on the side. You know what I mean? Like something with some like movable armpits or I don't know. Like I would like it's definitely yeah. weird that he
people have done that.
Like I do have these like I'll say personally, like they do sell a lot more pants that are like I have this great pair of pants that's like four, it's called four flex. Like you could, it looks like a pair of jeans, but you could literally like probably do a split a in those match pants. That's what Bobby Lashley needs. Like he needs some four flex pants.
No, Bobby Lashley is the come, get dressed, dress sharply, expensive suits, and then he changes into his the smallest underwear.
Don't change.
That is the type of champion he is, and that is how he will remain until he doesn't have the gold.
Old school. It's like an old man. Hold on, I gotta wear my suit out here because I have, you know, that's how the kids these days, all they wear is their jorts and their skinny jeans. Well, I'm gonna wear a suit. It's very, I like it. Yeah. He's very. But
what's kind of is like a callback to also like CM Punk again, because that whole dress code thing got out because of him. Like that, it's widely known that WWE, if you are their champion, they normally like you to come out in like a suit or like dress up. And it's because you're, you know, you're representing. And that's, and we only know that because of some of the stuff that CM Punk did. So, you know, CM Punk talked about when he was the champion and he had his hoodies on, like, they felt like they didn't want him presenting like that, you know? So more stuff we only know because of what CM Punk talked about. But speaking of which,
and dress codes, why does Sheamus look like a streaker with his...
Oh my God. He's
the
coat. I like the coat, though. I'm not going to lie. Why do people wear
it's
cool.
Literally probably 90 degrees wherever they are.
It's so cool.
Oh my God, it is.
It's like a superhero uniform. Like when he came on at first, I was like, is this like, this looks like if like Ron Weasley like went vigilante in the hall. You know what I mean? He's like playing this like knight superhero type. Like I love that little jacket. Man. Like that's kind of all he needs. Like this, Sheamus, I thought he was sick. I thought he was pretty, pretty cool.
Sheamus.
He looks sick. He looks, I could picture him running across a soccer field dressed like that with that coat on. So a questionable outfit in my mind. Just take the jacket off, you know?
So Sheamus, the person who Damian Priest just beat for the U.S. title, came out and started beating up on Damian Priest with Bobby Lashley, which then led to Drew McIntyre coming out. So then we got Drew McIntyre and Damian Priest versus Bobby Lashley and Sheamus. And I mean, it was a good match, serviceable match. I think what it honestly mostly set up was, Damian Priest and Drew McIntyre actually won. I think that's what it set up for was we also got some clips of, we first got a clip of Bobby Lashley and Sheamus having an heated exchange, and then Drew McIntyre and Damian Priest having an exchange, which I think what this is if I have to, you know,
break it down,
put it all together there,
put it together, the opposite of breaking it down.
The champion of Bobby Lashley, you know, he's the WWE champion, and his next feud for a minute will probably be Sheamus, but they're both heels. And then Damian Priest is the USA champion, the US champion, and Drew McIntyre is probably his next contender, but they're both faces. So in order to make these matches work, they're putting the two stories together so that, you know, you do get some, you know, some heel face dynamics, even though both of those feuds are heel or face face dynamics. Does that make sense? So, Phil, a heel is a bad guy, face is a good guy, and they're putting both the storylines together so that they can have some play off of the interdynamics to lead up to matches that will eventually be heel versus heel and face versus face.
Right. Okay. That makes a lot of sense. And I think that's kind of cool. Like, it's like a, what is it called? Like, you know, the March Madness type, like,
Like a bracket.
Yeah. Like a bracket. Yeah. Where it's like the goods versus the good, the bad versus the bad. Yeah. That's pretty sick. I love that.
Yeah, so I think that's where we're going, which is pretty cool. I don't mind seeing a Drew versus Damian Priest feud or Lashley versus Sheamus. Like, again, it's going to be, they have to work it because, you know, they're both on the same coins when it comes to those type of dynamics, but at least it'll be something different for the meantime, you know? Well, Bobby and Sheamus kind of had a few dust ups, I think, earlier this year. But Drew versus Damian Priest could be really good. So we'll see. Yeah, but nice. That's what compromised most of the Raw, the title scene and the upper mid card scene. Matt, how did you feel about what we got here from all of these four men?
You know, I just liked that Damian Priest was in this situation, like with these other three, because Priest really, he just debuted on the main roster at the start of the year. Whereas Drew McIntyre, Bobby Lashley, the Sheamus. Other person. Yes, he tweeted us once, Mari. I'm trying to big league him. But anyway, you know, that guy. Sheamus, Drew, Bobby Lashley, they've all been champion. They've all been in the main event. They've all been the star. And to put Damian Priest next to all of them just makes him look like a bigger star. So I love this for him. I loved this match for him. And I thought it was cool to see him there and see that he could kind of hold up and like he has his time on the mic that we see, and he does a good job with that. So that's awesome. Job, but I liked this one, even though like normally I wouldn't be excited for really anyone in this match.
Yeah.
Except like, I think the factor of Damian Priest being in this match actually helps me get excited for it. Yeah. Just cause it's like, ooh, he's on his way up and we love it. We love it. Yeah.
Phil, did you get any of that? Who did you like gravitate towards?
Well, I was very just because I was going to ask, like, how long have these guys been like doing wrestling for? Just because like I was just so surprised at like the deep, deep, like dense backstory that was being given about Bobby Lashley and fighting against the dude before. With the son or.
Goldberg. Oh, yeah.
Goldberg. And so then I was just like, I don't know, like, are these guys like, have they all been hating each other for so long? Or, you know, I didn't understand all those dynamics. So then I was trying to just like really get into, you know, the story of it or like trying to see like who I could really root for, but I couldn't really see that. So then I kind of just picked whoever looked that the coolest. Sense. And I think Damian Priest kind of had a really sick fit. So I was kind of like on him. I liked his like his hair.
It's really cool.
So that's kind of that's basically what I was looking at because I didn't know
that makes sense because it's not much story. Honestly,
there
wasn't much story. They put it together for that night, and we'll see if it goes further from here on out.
And just to like put it into perspective, Phil, as we go along, if like similar questions come up,
because
I somehow just looked all this up, like Sheamus debuted in wrestling in 2002, Drew McIntyre debuted in wrestling in 2003, Damian Priest debuted in 2004, believe it or not. So he's only just making
this not here.
Exactly. He just debuted on the main roster of WWE this year. So it's been a while coming. Yeah. And then Lashley debuted, I think, in 2005 is what I saw.
They've been all wrestling for a long time.
Yeah.
But the three men, Drew, Sheamus, and Bobby Lashley, they've been in and out of WWE for at least the past...
The 2000s, like, really.
Yeah, the past 15 years. Yeah, they've been in and out. Damian Priest was a indie wrestler for most of his time. So he just got to WWE. He was on NXT. He just got there maybe even like just three or four years. He just got to WWE. And then just getting to the main roster, which is Raw. So yeah, that's why he seems like newer to us because he's technically new to the company, new to the scene. He's just getting this push. So that's why it's just good to see, but they're all professionals who've been doing this for so long and you can tell.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. So yes. And like Matt said, if you have any questions, always, we love, you know, hearing them. We love answering them.
We love them.
love it. So next we have Miz and Morrison.
And so, Logan Paul.
Logan Paul, yeah, oh, yeah. So
which is like so weird when he shows up. I'm always so confused. Why?
Because he was talking about his career as the boxer. And I know Logan Paul, of course, is the YouTuber and now the boxer. But is he really affiliated with WWE regularly? Or is this more of a surprise type thing?
He's popped up like, this is maybe his third appearance this year. Something like that. And he doesn't wrestle in any way. He just does this. Like, he shows up and he's in some kind of interview show and then he gets booed a lot. And that's basically it. That's his story.
Yeah, he basically pops up when he wants to, you know, advertise for his brother's fight. I don't know. I don't like him. Just like most of the audience doesn't like him, you know.
There are so many other Pauls that I'll take before Logan and Jake Paul. I'm sad that I know his name. I wish I didn't know either of their names. You know, like Les Paul, the guitars.
Mm-hmm. The guitar Chris people. Paul?
Chris Paul.
The basketball player?
Big Brother Paul.
I'll take them.
And Paul. Great. Yeah. So other Pauls. But this was very random. And
it really was. And then Miz crashed this interview. And thank God, because the crowd was really getting away with them, and only the Miz can really like rein in the crowd like he does. Yeah. I love it. I love the Miz. And he's just so good at what he does. But I didn't need any of this. I really didn't need any of this. Phil, what did you think? Do these two people look familiar to you?
Do any of the people look familiar?
Any of these people look, I don't know if I should I know who the Miz is? I don't know.
Well, you tell us. You don't need to know who anyone is.
You don't need to.
Well, yeah. I know who John in the Middle is, because I didn't at first, but then I was like, oh, wait, this is because he was on Survivor, right? He was on David versus Goliath.
John Morrison, yes.
Yeah. So I was like, I didn't recognize him at first. I was like, oh, wait a minute. No, this dude makes total sense. This is a similar thing with like Dave Bautista and The Rock and stuff like that. Like, he just understands his personality. He knows how to play it. And even in this small little clip, I'm like, oh, yeah, this guy's the best ever. Like, I could watch him do whatever on this WWE stage and I'd eat it up. For me, I was mostly like, I was surprised that kind of like, Logan Paul really took everything in stride. Like, the audience, everyone was like booing him. Like, no one really wanted him to be there.
Yes.
He kind of like, he was never like really offended. He kind of like loved the boos in a really interesting way. Mm-hmm. I wonder if
love
like
the boos.
Isn't that like a good thing for like wrestling? Yeah. Like, do you think he would have like a future in wrestling at all?
Look, there's so many things it takes to be a wrestler. I do think he could have, I could see him having a future where he's like a manager or something like that. Perfect. But he's like, I think it's the type of thing where people like really don't want to see him involved in wrestling at all. Just because like, there's a lot of like, it's the go, like just go away, Logan Paul. Like that's
it is a lot of the feeling. They call it
go away heat. Go away heat. He could do it.
Yeah, because you'd rather get that type of reaction than no reaction. That's the thing in wrestling, you know.
Exactly.
If you're gonna get booed and you're gonna get like heel heat or whatever, like you'd rather get a reaction than no reaction. And that's what he got. He got a huge reaction there, even if it's negative. So he could have a career. Again, I would not want to see it. A lot of people wouldn't want to see it, I'm sure. But also, the reason why I asked you that is Miz was on Real World. He was on Real World Back to New York.
Okay.
With Coral.
Long like,
original. Yeah. And and he was on a few seasons of The Challenge as well.
Yeah.
So, word. Okay.
Yeah. And Tough Enough, all of that good stuff. And we love, like, the listeners are probably like, we do this every time we have somebody who covers Survivor and sees John Morrison, because we just love to see y'all faces when you're like, wait, he was on Survivor.
Yeah.
You know? It
takes a couple seconds. I'm like, wait a minute. I know this guy from something.
Yeah. He looks a little bit, I mean, like, but like the the hair is a little bit different. He just looks different because,
yeah.
But he looked like the thing is on Survivor, he looked gigantic compared to everyone else.
That is muscle wise
too. Yeah. Here he blends in a little bit better. So
that's true. That's very true.
Yes, we the mayor of Slamtown, the drip god. The drip. I don't know. I don't know what else. No,
he's Johnny Drip Drip. He's Johnny Drip Drip here.
The most moist C WWE superstar of all time. Moist C. Yes.
But we also got the Miz turning on him in our second clip. And we also got this question from Edmo. Was this the right time for them to split up the Miz and Morrison? And so, yeah, Miz viciously attacked John Morrison after losing to Xavier Woods. And I mean, honestly, yeah, I think this had gone as long as it could go. I think John Morrison has been back for at least a year and a half now, right? Almost
a couple of years. I think it's like, because it was the Royal Rumble 2020 that he returned.
Really? Okay. So let's go with it. Yeah.
Sounds right.
Yeah, sounds right. So he's been here for, they've been here for a while. The whole time they've been together, they've been teamed up together. So this makes sense. This is the time to turn, especially since John Morrison has been getting, he's been getting the reactions, the good reactions, you know, from the audience. So now we're getting Miz versus John Morrison, and this could be good. And I don't know if Morrison is going to take time off of it after this. I don't know if they're going to try and push him as a single star after this. There is a draft coming up apparently soon. Maybe they'll split them up in the draft. But I think this is the time. This is the time. Why not?
So Morrison is on, like, he's on the come up again. Like, he's, like, doing, like, a rebound. Like, he took time off, and now he's back, and now he's, like, trying to reclaim that old glory and the title he had.
You know, I feel like a lot of it with him though has been like he was in wrestling, he was in WWE for a while. Mari, you're probably better with the years, but I'll just say in general, like 10 years ago he was still around WWE. He was he had like a few WWE championship matches. He was known for his innovative, like, high flying acrobatic work in the ring, because he's someone who also has a parkour background. So you could, like, imagine that being part of, like, how he's able to be so athletic. But the thing that's interesting is that he was never known for his personality. And over the last year and a half, we've really seen that personality develop, and the hair and, like, the most moisty WWE superstar gimmick, which is, like, it's nice that we're getting something different from him.
Some more person. Yeah. He kind of plays like dumb ish too. It's like a very like not all their character. It's really, really funny. And and he was formerly in the WWE. He's a great tag team, like, specialist. He was in a really cool group called M&M. And then he left. Yeah. He did a lot of indie work, a lot of, he was on TNA, Impact Wrestling, which I think he was a TNA champion, I want to say. So he was always wrestling. He was always like an indie wrestler. He then, of course, he did Survivor. And after Survivor, he came back to the WWE. So, like, we just never know. When people take those long hiatuses and they come back to WWE, he was working the whole time. You know what I'm saying? He was an indie wrestler. He was on multiple different type of indie promotions. And now his wife is in NXT right now. Yeah.
Like developmental-ish territory.
Yeah, territory. Yeah. So what it could be is he's getting older now. So when you get older, we do get some people, they come back, they take the really good paycheck that the WWE offers, and then they use their platform to either, like, just, you know, help along other superstars, help along either younger talents or you know, we don't know if he's coming back to, like, legit be in the main title picture. He could just like doing what he does, likes the schedule he got and likes the money. So that's a good thing. Like me and Matt say all the time, no matter where you do wrestling, we just want you happy there, you know. And he seems good. His wife is in WWE for the first time. So she's doing great things down there in NXT. So I can't wait for her. If she comes up to the main roster, see what happens there. That'd be so awesome. But I'm so happy for John Morrison that he's back, and he's him and Miz are working, each other. Cause they also, what I kind of left out was they were tag team champions when he was first here too. So they like have a very long friendship. They've been friends for many, many, many years. So, now that they're breaking them up, we'll see what happens, but I'm pretty sure they're both very, very happy with what's happening, right now, I would say.
Yeah. That sounds like it's a great opportunity, especially for Morrison or just anyone to really fine tune and tweak your legacy as a WWE superstar. Fix things you didn't get to have before. And it's also interesting to hear that, because I feel like his personality was the biggest part about his Survivor persona.
Yeah, Survivor, yeah.
That mm-hmm. would kind of have carried over. But it's good now that he's able to kind of maybe add that and pepper that in.
I was just going to say, just real quickly, I think he got that personality when he was on the indies, to be quite honest. Matt said, when he was first in the WWE, that was one of the knocks against him. Because he was always in a tag team, and the tag team partner or his valet at the time would always seem to be the charismatic one. So then he goes on the indies and he fine tunes that. He was, he even wrestled in a mask for Lucha Underground. Yeah, it's really cool. Mm-hmm. So I think he actually got that personality on the indies and was able to come back and show it not only on Survivor, but on WWE. I'm sorry. Keep going, Phil.
No. I mean, that I think that's super, super dope. I've never even heard of like the indie type wrestling, which I'm obviously now that you say it, that makes that exists and is totally there. I just mm-hmm. haven't really thought about it in that way. But I think that's really interesting. And I was just going to say, it makes sense that it sounds like him and The Miz were friends, because those two dudes looked like they were having the time of their life, duking it out over there. It was so funny watching them jump. They went off the, what is it? Not the stage. I'm trying to
the apron, the ring.
Yeah, the ring. Sorry. I don't know what's going on.
No, let's go. It's okay.
Enough.
they jump off the ring and they're rolling around on the ground. And the announcers are they're turning Monday Night Raw into a slip and slide. This is illegal. I'm they're loving this.
We love a good slip and slide. And you know what? I'll say too, the thing that applies for John Morrison. I got tripped up for a second because he's had so many different names in wrestling. But the thing that applies to him that I think is interesting is he came in through on MTV. There was the reality show Tough Enough, and he came in through that, and he was big on the athleticism. And I just feel like wrestling maybe has changed to an extent where people have to be more well-rounded, but also I think he's kind of come to realize wrestling isn't just the moves and the athleticism. It's a lot more than that. So we've seen him bring a lot more than that in this last year and a half, especially. But what a glow up. Get Christian Hubicki in here. Get Davey in here. Let's just make it a whole David versus Goliath situation.
He ever pulled a Mike White and brought in people from his season to, or brought in people onto his thing?
He should. Maybe he will now that if he goes solo.
I was going to say, I know on the indies, at some point there was a match. I don't know if Davey and Nick Wilson were in it or what that was, but there was a thing. I didn't
know that.
I didn't make it up.
Whoa. I would pay to see that. That sounds really cool.
Yeah, I would too. I don't know where it happened or what, but it was a thing at some point. Oh, well, actually, because I'm really quick on
the pictures, the
pulling things up, here's a random GIF of, it's a GIF of Davey and Nick at Impact Wrestling. Question mark?
Yeah, it's Impact. Yeah.
Oh, Oh, I shouldn't be talking like this. Nick's in our job has a squad cast group. So maybe he's listening. Shout out to Nick. Davey. Cool. Woo. Where's Davey?
Look at Davey. Yeah.
Oh, beautiful.
They're also, beautiful they look times. Like they're having the time of their lives too.
That's so cool. Yeah. Matt did a great job of pulling up a gif of Nick Wilson and Davey from Survivor. Yeah. Interfering in John Morrison's match. That's awesome. So do more of that. Like, here, Davey, where y'all, like, go to Raw somewhere or something.
You need I always blank on her last name. Natalie. Give me Natalie. Is it? It's not Natalie Cole. Maybe it's Natalie Cole.
Yeah, Natalie Cole. Oh yeah,
Natalie Cole.
Yeah. It'll be a showdown for the century.
She could take my jacket. She should take Sheamus's jacket. That's what I want.
Yes. Okay, so into something like, I'm really interested to get your thoughts on this, Phil. Charlotte does her Charlotte thing. She gives her promo about how she's the queen. She's the opportunity. She's the most decorated female wrestler of all time. Like a typical Charlotte promo. Very long Charlotte promo. And then we get Alexa Bliss literally just come out for 2 seconds to introduce Lily to Charlotte. What did you think about this, Phil? With like no context, I know you have no context but the clip. What did you think about this?
Well, the thing is, I mean, I don't know. Like, I've never seen Charlotte like before this. Like, I haven't seen her fight or anything like that. So I totally believe her when she says that she's the queen. I'm like, okay, so she's probably one of the greatest wrestlers alive, huh? She was talking like she was like the Meryl Streep of wrestling or something like that. Like, I hold the title. Is that the case? Is that true? Did I take her word for it?
She's not lying. She is the most decorated female athlete. They've put the title on her 12 times. So, I mean, but it just depends on, you know, when we're talking greatest of all time, it depends on what you feel like is actually makes a great wrestler. And so I'm just going to leave it at that.
So she's the Meryl Streep.
She is. Yeah. And then, you know, Alexa Bliss came in. I thought it was like, they were trying to do like a Harley Quinn thing or something like that. She had kind of the same like eyeshadow and the same like hair, like the blonde hair, you know. Mm-hmm. And so like I didn't know what she was brought to the table. Although I do really, I think Lily has a lot of potential like for the future of wrestling as well. I think they could maybe spin her off into her own character or something like that. Like where there's like some like puppet thing that's like fighting. I don't know, but I'm thinking of the possibilities of what Matt.
Phil, I think you're on like, something.
Yeah. And I'm just starting to see it in like a weird, Phil, I'm so mad. Cause you're probably right. Like we're going to see someone dressed up as Lily or as like the human manifestation of Lily at some point through some dark magic or something. Yeah.
That's the best part about it.
We heard it here first.
This stuff is really like when I was watching it, it's kind of like an opera. You know what I mean? It's like if you bring something in or like, you know, they're going to bring it back. They're going to like try to like capture or elevate the drama in any way they can. It's like really like soap opera or something like that, but also with like a ton of fighting. Like,
definitely. But WWE is all soap opera.
Yeah. And so I'm very curious to see what they end up doing with Lily. Or even just like what she would do with fighting even this time. I'm not sure. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's really weird because at this point, like to give you a little bit of background, Phil, like we tried to do, I think a few weeks ago, like this character for Alexa Bliss has just evolved so much that I guess like with your fresh eyes, that's why I wanted to get what you thought, because this character went from a very dark character where she was like summoning what was called the Fiend, Bray Wyatt, who's now out of the company, so, like sitting in front of pentagrams and spitting out black stuff, to like now she's a good guy and she still has this creepy doll and she used to have mind control powers, and like it's just all,
do you know like what the reason for that is, like why they changed her character? Did she want to change it, or did WWE want to change it? How does that stuff usually work, you know?
I think the reason why her character went through the changes, because like people like her, the crowd likes Alexa Bliss. And with the Fiend gone, the Fiend character gone, there is no point in keeping her a heel. Raw also needed more faces at the time. So I just think, and now they are really pulling away from Fiend, like Alexa Bliss and the Fiend. This was an old picture from earlier this year.
Instagram. She
had the weird contacts, and it was more of a creepy gimmick. Now it's in this weird limbo. Yeah, it's in this weird limbo where it's like not creepy, but still kind of creepy to me, because it's like weird.
Infantile creepy, like creepy for kids in a weird, like they were doing stuff that you're like, what? I don't think that they should be having like actual pentagrams here. Like, we don't need Satan making up more of the WWE universe and the fandom than they probably already do. I don't want to know. I don't want to come in touch with them. But this next level Alexa has been interesting. Pointed out, a couple of people I think have pointed out, just that it's almost creepy, but it's also like there's some sexy elements too, and I'm sure that there's like some
gross.
I feel like I didn't really read her as like one of the good people, just because of like that whole like it definitely read a like, again, like, I see what you're saying. It's no longer, she's not like a sinister character, but it's still like that, like, creepiness. But it feels creepy, but it's also like, because she's like kind of acting like a child, it has like that element of pure like chaos. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, also probably like, I would personally be rooting for Charlotte. Charlotte would be the heel in this case, right?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Right. But yeah. I mean, Alexa Bliss, I'm not sure if the transition is fully there for me, if they really want her to become like one of the heroes or something.
I feel like it translated at the start of the year what they were doing with her before. It made sense, like it wasn't that complicated or confusing, but she was also definitely more of a heel then, even though you know, it was a cool
she was
heel.
Shooting fireballs at people, Phil.
She was like, shooting fireballs at people.
Okay,
you can't really beat that.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
She had black sludge coming out of her face. Like, it's a thing.
That's why we want to see from your point of view, because we've seen it, the gradual progression, and we're still kind of confused. So we definitely And this between her and Charlotte, this is their first interaction. Like, a lot of these clips that we showed you were set up for the future, because basically after the SummerSlam pay-per-view, you kind of close that book and you close the chapter on some stuff. So the rest of the stuff is like, now you're kind of beginning it. So we can only go off what we know right now. And all we got was just Charlotte being Charlotte, and then Alexa coming out with Lily. So very kind of interesting stuff, but I did not enjoy Charlotte versus Alexa at that one Survivor Series, so I'm not really looking forward to this feud. But again, it's Raw, so I'm not normally ever looking forward to anything on Raw. Anyways,
I might make like a prediction and just say, I think that like when they actually end up do facing off, like, first of all, let me know when they do, or I guess I'll have to just follow. But I think that Alexa is going to beat Charlotte, and I think she's going to take Charlotte's title or something, if that's what is up for grabs. I really think so. It seems like the way Charlotte was going off for like 3 minutes about how excellent she was. So I was like, something's about to change.
And that's the cut down version, Phil. That is the cut down version. I was like,
it felt crazy. Like 20.
Nice prediction there. I kind of agree with you, Phil. We'll see where that goes, definitely. Mm-hmm. And we will keep you posted. So next up, we have Rhea Ripley and Nikki A.S.H. versus Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler. So again, Phil, I'm going to put you on the spot here just because I want to, before we like talk and interject some of our feelings, I want to know what was your initial reaction to this women's tag team match.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out if like, are any of these people actually friends? Like are like Rhea and like Nikki, like friends or right. And I guess I just did like, are they just kind of teaming up for this round? Did people kind of just pick like, all right, I'm going to be with you for this one and we'll
exactly
figure it out. I wasn't sure.
Nikki and Rhea literally just faced each other in SummerSlam like with Charlotte. It was a triple threat. So it was Charlotte, Nikki and Rhea all fighting for the Raw Women's title. And Rhea was the women's champion like a month ago. Charlotte beat her for the championship. Then the next night, Nikki A.S.H. beat Charlotte for the championship. So going into the SummerSlam match this past Saturday, Nikki A.S.H. was the champion. She got beat by Charlotte. So now Charlotte is off doing champion things and we get Nikki and Rhea teaming up. So no, they're not really friends. They just teamed up for this round. And then on the flip side, Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler have been tag team partners for the large part of a year now, but in the last few months, they've been having disagreements. They had actually stopped tagging with each other for a while and they got back together for this match. And as we saw, a lot of miscommunication when they came back together here during the match. So that's a little background there.
Oh, okay. Word. Yeah. Because like it's sometimes like it kind of felt like they were just kind of doing it just to like be partners. So, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I was kind of just like watching. They were all just like jumping on each other the whole time. they just kept on doing it after every single round. They just get up and then jump on each other. I thought that was just like pretty like athletically amazing, athletically astounding for sure. Like,
yeah. And you bring up something that, I mean, I think your assessment of this is pretty accurate. It's like, why are they teaming together? Like, aren't Nia and Shayna broken up? Wait, they're not?
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Maybe they still are because they're arguing still. And then Rhea and Nikki A.S.H. makes sense, but it would kind of still be weird to see them as a team if it keeps going on. So very strange. And are any of these people friends? Who knows?
Yeah, I was like, dude, do some of this, like, even just beyond these fighters, but like any of them, do they just like get a beer afterwards? Like, do they all just like chill out, or do they totally like they're in their own worlds and they're like stick to the persona till they die? You know what I mean?
Kayfabe is dead, Phil. So what you just
suggested? They do whatever they want.
Yeah, it's called kayfabe. Back in the day, if you were a good guy, you were on a good guy bus. If you're a bad guy, you're on a bad guy bus. Because back in the day, when people thought that it was real, you wouldn't be caught dead to see like Hogan and Savage together during a feud, you know?
Right.
But nowadays, we all know it's not real. You know, it's the reality era. People have social media posts. We know who's friends with who, you know? So it, yeah. Like,
half of them are doing TikTok dances together. Like,
yeah,
let's be real.
Exactly.
So it's like probably literally.
Literally, yeah.
Literally, so, yeah.
It's just not that serious. Once the cameras go off, they will grab some beers if they're friends. So, yep, it happened. So the biggest thing with this match was we got Rhea and Nikki A.S.H. like working together, and commentary was really putting over like, oh, look at them. They're teaming together. Great. We got a spot in it where Rhea called for Nikki A.S.H. to hit a splash on Nia Jax. We got Nia Jax is trying to help Shayna Baszler, and she accidentally hit a splash on Shayna Baszler. So they had a lot of miscommunications, but Rhea Ripley and Nikki A.S.H., they win in this match. And then Nikki jumps on Rhea to celebrate. And excuse me, but it really seems like they're positioning Nikki and Rhea to become a tag team together, which sure. they need more women's tag teams because there's not that many. And, you know, the women's tag team belts have been MIA because of Natalya's unfortunate injury. But like, Nikki A.S.H. and Rhea Ripley went from being women's champions to now they're in a thrown together tag team, possibly. We'll see. Where it looks like they're going to be given the normal opposites attract style booking because Nikki is so bright and bubbly and Rhea dresses all in black and is a mosh pitter and all this stuff. And I'm just not looking forward to any of it, to be quite honest. Yeah,
you know what? And let me take it a step further. The opposites attract type of thing, putting them together, that's kind of boring because they do it all the time, like in WWE.
All the time.
They just put people together as teams randomly. And, you know, but it's like, it's not even opposites attract. That's my problem. Like if they were like polar opposites, like if you had like if Rhea was truly like a super villain and, you know, Nikki Ash was a superhero, A.S.H. Ash Cross, whatever her name is.
We still don't know her last name.
All of the things, all of the names. You know, that could be cool, but it's just like, it feels a little lazy when it's like, let's just put these people together and hope it's a cool dynamic. Like, I don't know. I just want it to be more like a comic book or more like in, you know, one of those comic-y things. I don't watch or listen to enough of those things to know what they're called. But yeah, like that's cool. Cause then you get like the very dramatic dynamic, which we're, this is just kind of weird. Yeah. Are they even friends? I love that question.
Do you guys like do you prefer the tag team like fights versus like the regular like matches, or do you get excited when you see the tag teams, or are you more like, oh, I would
no, I'll just say no, because the way that WWE handles the tag teams, it doesn't take them very seriously or give them the time of day to really do it. Like you mentioned, Phil, running through like the John Cena lunchbox, the Rock lunchbox, right? But WWE for a long time has kind of been like, I want to almost say for like 15 years, they kind of just put tag teams on the back burner. They don't really care about them. So that's the part that's not great about tag teams. They could be great, but in WWE, it just doesn't work as well. Mari, what do you think?
Yeah, Matt's completely right. Like, it's hard to get excited for tag team matches when half the time, like we were talking about during the SummerSlam pay-per-view, half the time they're just thrown together and there's like no backstory. And then the teams that have been like together for years, they break them up prematurely. Like it just doesn't. We would love tag team wrestling if we were invested in it, and we'll probably talk about it a little bit later when we get to the SmackDown portion. There are some tag teams that I am excited to see go when they face off, but the tag team division itself lacks in so many ways. The men's divisions lack, and the women's division is basically it's a non-starter right now because, like I said, the current women's tag team champions, it's Natalya and Tamina, and Natalya injured her. Was it her knee, Matt?
And she just returned. By the way, she just returned on like SmackDown last week, I want to say.
Yeah,
she wasn't that hurt, but it's.
But did they have a match? I couldn't watch.
She had a match. Yeah. I vaguely remember this. Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
Okay. Well,
I don't know.
So that's how confusing it is. Like
the women, long time ago.
The women's tag team matches are just like, they're just non-existent right now. I think to most blanketly answer your question, it's basically, if the champions are entertaining, then we're more entertained for the feuds. If the champions aren't entertained, because that's basically the only way you're going to get booked tag matches, really, then you just don't, then it's just not entertaining. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. And I think you make like a really good point when you just like talk about like how they're just like, if they're thrown together, why should we care? Because like, right. I feel like people all the time say like, oh, like, you know, or like, who cares about wrestling if you know that it's like fake, you know what I mean? But there's mm-hmm. still, you can still totally get that emotional, like character investment if they just try exactly. to throw in like a little bit of just some kind of reason for why people are like want to do the things that they do. Because if you exactly. detect that, then you're able to kind of put yourself in their shoes. Like, yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. And I think that's like a, it's a shame that they don't give them more reason. Because I would also be annoyed if there's just like two people who, you know, like don't go together like at all. Like, yeah. then they'll like hang out, you know, like that doesn't make, that wouldn't make any sense. So why would we care? It's, it seems like you don't care, you know?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. And if you like, there are so many comparisons that I'm not equipped to make to different movies and things, but like,
yeah.
this would just be, it would be ridiculous if you had some of those, you know, WWE has so much going on and it's a variety show and like they give you a lot of different things and not everything's exciting. Not everything's for everyone. Not everything's the main event or the spotlight. But I mean, if you were to compare a lot of the stuff that we see, it's like, come on, step it up. Get some better writers and some better execution. It happens. But, you know, we're about to get to the more fun stuff that we like to talk about more
exactly.
For SmackDown, thankfully.
Yep. So, again, that's all we have for Raw this week. You can find the highlights in our show notes or in the show description to follow along. Next up, we have SmackDown. Which again is the A show. It's my favorite show to watch. I think it's Matt's favorite show to watch. And SmackDown, they have a problem. They have a problem because they have too many stars, to be quite honest.
Too many.
Too many.
Yeah, it's great. Great yes. problem to have for them for now.
Right. So we're going to start with Bianca confronts Becky because we get Becky Lynch coming out after her surprise SummerSlam victory. She comes out. She talks about, you know, why she's back and how she's going to be more ruthless now that she has something to fight for in reference to her baby. Phil, just a little bit of background. Becky Lynch had been gone from the company for the past 16 months because she was pregnant. She was pregnant. She vacated her title. She was a Raw Women's Champion at the time. She vacated her title, went and had her baby girl, and is now back and is now the SmackDown Women's Champion because she surprised the former champion Bianca Belair at SummerSlam. We sent you a little SmackDown package, SummerSlam package to give you a little bit idea about that. But she comes out, she cuts that promo saying that she is going to be a different Becky Lynch. And again, I think this is a tease for her heel turn. But Bianca comes out and is like, okay, you know, I wasn't ready then, but let's go now. But then we also got Carmella came out and Zelina Vega came out. And then shockingly and amazingly, we got Liv Morgan came out, which was awesome. And it turned into a fatal four-way elimination match between Bianca Belair, Liv Morgan, Zelina Vega, and Carmella. And whoever won would get a match with Becky Lynch. It came down to Liv Morgan and Bianca Belair, and Bianca won. And she said that she is going to prove to the man that she is the EST of WWE and that she can't wait to face Becky for the title. Also, would just love to note that Becky noped out of there as soon as all those women came to the ring.
Good for Becky. And you know what? Oh, Becky. We love a Becky. We
yeah.
love Becky.
So, Phil, what did you think of like all the women? This was a lot of women in one place here.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was pretty funny to see, like, they were still, like, because, of course, everyone has, like, the shocked face when someone new comes in, you know what I mean?
And,
like,
oh, yeah.
Everyone. When the fourth person came in, everyone was like, oh, really? Like, I was like, come on, like, you guys know what's about to happen. Like, right. Why are you acting that shocked? Yeah. You know, I thought it was really pretty cool. It just, like, reminded me of, like, these old like myths or something you hear where it's like a story about a warrior and then other people try to challenge the knight or something like that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, and so like, I thought that was kind of like, I don't know, just like cool storytelling. I don't know. I'm very curious. I didn't really go into like who writes WWE because like there's certain characters that like seemed like off to me. I didn't know if it was like, I don't remember her name. You guys will have to tell me. She was wearing like the cheetah print.
Or okay. Yeah, Carmella. Right here in the picture here.
Yeah, just like a cow.
Yeah, yeah, the cow. Yeah.
No, that's cheetah. Yeah, it's cheetah.
We have to zoom in.
Yeah, it's like, yeah.
It's the middleman between cow and cheetah. I thought she was really funny. Although she made like one comment that was just talking about like, oh, my makeup wasn't done properly. And I was thinking like, who wrote this? I wonder if like the what kind of audience they're, because I guess do these people like write their own characters or do
no
is there a so whole team
WWE and, has a writers mm-hmm. they have a writers room and then normally like each superstar may have their own writer or teams of writers. Like it really depends basically when it comes to your station on the card. I think I've heard like Roman Reigns can have a team of writers, like right. several, while some of your lower mid card people, it'll be like five wrestlers to one writer. You know what I'm saying? In a sense, right. as in like they're not as important. So it just depends. And some people are fully written, like legit a script and they have to follow the script, while some people have bullet points and the company trusts them to hit the bullet points and get their point across, you know? So it's a mixed bag, when it comes to the writing, because you also get it where the writers may not always communicate. So you might get right. some weird stuff every now and then. Throw the picture back up there, Matt, just so Phil can, it'll help Phil out a little bit. But like, any other, like, were you, any other questions about some of the characters? Cause this is a lot of characters in this ring here.
Yeah. I was pretty like Bianca Belair. I mean, she was definitely my favorite just because like, mm-hmm. she was like, I don't know. She's like a competitor to me. I didn't even have a question mm-hmm. about her. I just like, she like would get body slammed and then she would just be so quick up on her feet. Like the athleticism in this one particularly was just like it was really like astounding to me, like how much like stamina all these people had. And yeah, no, I don't know. I was more so my big question was just kind of like, who do you think the main demographic for WWE is? Like, do you guys like have like an idea of that? Because like, that's what I was always thinking about when I was watching this. Like, I didn't know if it was like meant, like if WWE appeals and is meant to appeal to everyone, or if it's meant to just appeal to like, you know, boys of a certain age or, you know, like men of a certain, you know what I mean? Like I genuinely, you know what I mean? I was kind of just curious and just like not taken aback, but just like trying to figure that out. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's a good question. And I think it just like, maybe Mari, I'm curious to your thoughts too, but
yeah,
like so, WWE mm-hmm. really goes for it being a variety. They really go for the variety show thing. So they like their audience is, it's a lot of kids. Like they definitely want to appeal to the kids and build them in. But then also the thing that's interesting about the women in particular is like 10 years ago, 15 years ago, like they were doing like bra and panties matches, Phil, where it was like, ooh, who could strip the other one down? Or like all sorts of stuff that was just like
jello wrestling.
Really, yeah. Right, it was just like degrading and definitely for like a man of a certain age, like young man, probably 18 to 34 type of demographic. Now it's just different. So we are seeing like more of the athleticism and all that stuff. But it is interesting because you do get characters like Carmella, who is the most beautiful woman in WWE and dresses like a cow person. And, you know, it's a choice. It's a choice. But yeah, it's all over the place. Mari, what about the demo? Tell us about the demos.
Yeah, WWE infamously went from like a PG-13 rating and during the Attitude Era to a PG rating because they try to appeal to as many people as possible, especially like Matt said, young kids. Like young kids is a demographic that John Cena has basically cornered the market on. A lot of people cornered the market on. Bayley had a really good, strong young children market before she turned heel. So WWE, like Matt said, really do try and get as many people as possible. We've said it. Their diversity, they have done a really good job, especially in the past few years with diversity. Bianca Belair, like we said, she was just the women's champion, SmackDown women's champion until a week ago. And when it comes to Black wrestlers, of Zelina Vega is Hispanic or Latino. They do a really, really good job with diversity. We did get a question on Twitter about, Native American diversity, and do we think that like WWE needs to be more diverse when it comes to Native Americans? And I think, you know, everybody could get more diverse when it comes to, you know, indigenous people. Yeah. I think as of right now, I think AEW Nyla Rose might be, one of the only, indigenous people wrestling with them. Mickie James was released by WWE earlier this year, and Fandango was as well. So right now, WWE, as far as I know, don't have many indigenous, wrestlers right now, but I can't fault them because I think they're doing a very good job when it comes to diversity overall. But I would love to see some more of it. But they're doing better than some other companies, which we've already talked about earlier today, Phil. So, I really agree that WWE at least tries to appeal to as many people as possible.
Yeah, I definitely see that. And just like thinking about like looking at like what Matt was saying just about like how much the needle has even moved in the last like 20 years. Because like I was more so just curious by like certain stuff that like particularly like Carmella was saying, but like it never was anything like too bad. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was still like a pretty like just, like, I definitely think out of all the fights I saw this week, like, this one was the one that was just, like, the most, like, just the athletic. Because, like, I feel like with, like, a lot of, like, the men's fights, they're kind of just, like, slamming each other. I don't know. It's very different, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but then, brute like, forcing it.
Yeah, more and more just
lots
classic.
Lots of meat,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, lots of meat, lots of brute force. But then, like, with, the, like, a lot of the women's, like, matches, it's, like, a lot more of, like, moving around and like all this kind of stuff that I was just really, really impressed and like astounded by.
WWE used to love to use the term like the women's I don't even know what this word means, but like preternatural skills or something like that. It's Stephanie McMahon, daughter of Vince McMahon, used to say this in like the promos about the women's evolution, like, ooh, their skill. But it's true. Like, and I think that's one reason why the women have, like, for me, always been so interesting too. For Mari, for everybody, it's like they have been a special attraction because there's another level of athleticism. The women just are better in a lot of ways, or more interesting in a lot of ways than like a lot of the men. So
Yeah, women's wrestling, especially in WWE, is one of the reasons why I still watch wrestling, because they are just so good. I love the different characters. Yeah. I love that they now are actually treated on par with the men when it comes to like regular matches, or, you know, and it's not lingerie matches anymore and stuff like that. So,
yeah,
like Matt pointed out. So I
pudding, not a pudding match. It's
not a pudding match. Yeah,
not a. What's it called? A paddle on, paddle on a pole. That was a big thing that they used to do.
Yeah. Anyway,
it was bad. Yeah. It's good. We've come a long way, but yeah, to your point, like the Carmella character is definitely like,
they're still working on her.
Well, but it's meant to be the way that you're perceiving it, right? Like like that old school vein type of thing, and very obsessed with looks and exactly. So it is interesting, because when you think about like the set of like clips and everything that you saw, like Carmel is like a little bit of an outlier for the division. There's a lot of like interesting characters in the women's division.
I just want to say, I'm so glad that Liv Morgan is finally back. She was off TV for a while. I think even Zelina Vega commented that she was like in catering for like a few months. So everybody was so happy. Liv got a really good pop there. And for it to come down to her and Bianca, they tore that roof
off. For that one-on-one moment. Yeah.
Yeah.
They had a good time there.
It's just so annoying, because I'm like, we could have been getting Bianca versus Liv, you know? But it makes sure, it makes sense. They were keeping Liv protected, because up until Bianca lost her championship, she was constantly going up against Carmella, and Carmella was constantly losing. So that's the funny thing of it all. But I can't wait to see more Liv, and SmackDown really has an embarrassment of riches. I really don't want to see a draft, because their women's division is so stacked right now. I'll move something up a little bit on our outline here, but we got Naomi coming back. Naomi.
I don't know why I act shocked, but that was amazing. We got her. Yeah. I didn't actually think that she would ever come back. So,
oh my God, Matt, you're so hyperbole. Like Naomi, we've heard rumors that Naomi was on SmackDown for weeks now. So at this point, we were just waiting to see her back. And Naomi came back talking to Sonya Deville, like, I'm so glad to be on SmackDown. Oh, who's my first opponent? Whatever, whatever. And Sonya Deville just giving her the just ignoring her completely on her phone, like, oh, I didn't even know you're here. Okay, whatever. We'll figure it out. Like, it was, which is just, they're playing my good sister Naomi, and I do not appreciate it. Like Naomi said, she said, I am a 2-time SmackDown Women's Champion. What do you mean you didn't expect me to be here? I love this, because again, this seems like it's just the start of a story. But I'm really hoping we get they start disrespecting Naomi to her face, and Naomi just snaps. If we get a Naomi heel turn out of this, and then Naomi joins the Bloodline or something like that, I will not be mad.
Yeah,
I will not be mad at that. Phil, the Bloodline, we're probably going to talk about them next, but that's Roman Reigns and his two cousins. Yeah.
Okay.
She's married. She's married to one of the Usos. So.
Okay.
So technically she is in the family, the Bloodline family. Yeah. So a lot of people are pushing for her to join that faction. I don't care. I just want more Naomi on my TV. And this looks like we're going in the right direction of that. So yes, please.
Was rude.
It wasn't. <So rude>. What'd you say, Phil?
No. Yeah. So who is the woman? The woman on the phone, like, that was ignoring Naomi.
Well, some people call her Daddy, but her name is Sonya Deville, and she is like, she's an official. One of the, I don't know if she has an official title, but she's like one of the people in management on the show. So she makes matches. She like puts. What does she really even do?
She makes matches. She's an authority figure. They say she's a WWE official. Her and the guy she referenced, Adam Pearce, they both kind of like run the shows. They're like, and so
and
that's why
Sonya
was coming up to her for a match. Yeah.
Sonya is a wrestler, otherwise, but she hasn't wrestled. in the over the last year, actually since last SummerSlam. So we might see, I mean, I'm sure that we'll see her back in the ring at some point, but if I'm Naomi, I'm just going to like, I'm going to get her straight in the face.
This would be cool. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's kind of what I was just thinking. Like, it's definitely going to be that build up, especially just because like Naomi is going about it so positively. Like, just in all of her videos, like she just seemed like, oh, like I love Naomi. She's so positive. And watching like someone just totally like ignore her, you know, like that's about a like come back in her face later. You know what I mean?
This
reminded me of like you never see the SNL what's up with that with Kenan Thompson. Where like he's always like telling Lindsay Buckingham like, oh, we're out of time, I'm not worried about you. That's kind of like the energy I got from this the woman like with her iPhone, kind of like, oh, we don't have so time for
disrespect.
You but we you know Naomi's about to show off later, she's about to
exactly
something.
But this is just rude, and you know what, I feel personally offended actually about the situation, because it's like, who are you? You don't even, this isn't even Sonya Deville's money. It's not even her, like, just welcome Naomi back. People like her. Do just smile at her or something. Be nice. You know, that's all you need to do.
Exactly. This is what they want. They want us riled up for Naomi. And I love this. I would love if this ended with like Naomi versus Sonya, because like Matt said,
maybe we'll get
it. Sonya hasn't wrestled in a year. She dealt with some personal issues. Yeah. So insane what she had to go through. So, but she has been on TV at least in the last, like, when did she come back onto TV?
I don't remember.
It was like, it was definitely like earlier this year.
I want to say around January.
Yeah.
Or February. Yeah. But I don't know why I'm thinking January, like around the time of the Royal Rumble. No, that sounds about
right. The Royal Rumble. Yeah. So she's been operating in a WWE official capacity for all of this year, basically. So if this leads to Naomi turning heel, cool. If this leads to Naomi versus Sonya, even better. So I'm just very excited to see where this goes. No matter what, I just want more Naomi. I'm so excited she's back. And SmackDown is like crazy. They also have Toni Storm, who hasn't come back on since debuting a few months ago. So like that women's division is ridiculous.
Toni Storm debuted like a month ago.
Yeah, it's been a minute. We haven't seen her since. Probably just because they're trying to figure out some way to insert her. Normally, if somebody's not on screen, it's because the writers don't have anything for them right now, which is kind of insane, because you're like Toni Storm is like one of the best women's wrestlers like in the industry right now. So you know,
they do what they want. Yeah. They do like to play games.
They do. They do like to play in our faces. So, but either way, the SmackDown women's, if Sasha comes back or not, it's just so ridiculously stacked.
The one, the only Sasha Banks. Incredible. But you know what? We'll see what happens with her.
Yeah,
we'll find out.
Sasha?
Yeah. No clue.
Yeah. The draft is kind of weird. Because Phil, the way this works is when you're on Raw, you only face the people on Raw, and that's your brand. When you're on SmackDown, you only face people on SmackDown. That's your brand. So they have a draft, like normally once a year, where they draft superstars to the brand, and that's the only time they can switch brands. And I really don't want them to touch this women's division, but there's already been word that like USA, like NBC Universal, Raw is on USA and SmackDown is on Fox. And so, yeah, and SmackDown has literally a lot of the big name stars coming on there. So the word is that NBC is not happy that they don't have a lot of the stars. And Raw's been losing views and ratings for a minute now. So we might get some people on Raw just for the star power of it. But honestly, I hate the Raw women's division. I don't want anybody to get sucked into the circle that is Charlotte Flair. So I just hope none of my favorites go back to Raw, to be quite honest. But they're going to have to do something because they can't have Becky Lynch and Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair. There's like,
they can do whatever they want. Who cares? You know what? Yeah, everything you said is like very on point, Mari, with the different networks. But I mean, I don't care. You know what? Take everyone off. Take everyone off of Raw. Yeah. We don't need to watch it at all. It's a rough time for Raw, and I don't know what they're thinking having so many great people over on SmackDown. But what are you gonna do? So,
they're both run by WWE, but it's just like network contracts that keep them apart. That's what it
is. Exactly. Right. Uh-huh. It's network contracts, and that's what WWE, they've done the brand. It's called the brand split. It's just better. It's just, I'm assuming it's easier to write for one show, and it doesn't overexpose people. Like if you see Roman on SmackDown every week and you see him on Raw every week, it could overexpose him to people. So that's why the brand split gives more opportunities for more people, because you're not showing the same people over and over. And yes, what happened was within the last two years, the brand split is literally a brand split because of the TV contracts, because originally Raw and SmackDown were on the USA Network. WWE started, was auctioning for the rights of SmackDown, and Fox signed the deal. It was like a $1 billion deal and one of the biggest things to happen. And, you know, this is wrestling on a network channel, you know, so that's why it seems like they're stacking the decks onto Fox, because more people is going to see it, you know. So but NBC is not really happy about that, because they want some ratings too, because their ratings have been floundering a little bit. So we'll see what happens. Just don't touch my girl Nay. That's all I care about. Or Bianca.
Nay.
Please do not send Bianca to Charlotte.
Actually, I was going to say that I wouldn't be surprised if that happens, Mari, if Bianca ends up going over to Raw to face Charlotte, because I don't know who else would face Charlotte Flair and like legitimately beat her.
Which is why I don't understand why they didn't send Becky back to Raw. It would have made way more sense.
Logic. Whatever. Who cares? Whatever.
Throw it out the window.
Yeah, this is sad, but whatever. It's cool.
All right. Cool. So next up we have talking about Roman Reigns and the Paul Heyman of it all and the Bloodline of it all. So this is the Bloodline. If you're watching on YouTube, that's Roman Reigns. He is the tribal chief. He is the Universal Champion. Those are his two cousins, the Usos, Jimmy and Jey Uso. They're currently the tag team champions. And that's Paul Heyman, Roman's
advisor. Advisor.
Yes, I think it is advisor. Yeah. I think it is his advisor. Yeah. So, yeah. But the cool thing is here, Phil, we showed you, at SummerSlam, Roman Reigns, beat John Cena, at Survivor Slam, and then, a Survivor Slam, really? So, it's so early. Name. I've run out of coffee.
Or so late? I don't know. We've been here for a while.
Both. We've been here for a while. So at SummerSlam, Roman beat John Cena, and then Brock Lesnar showed up. The thing here is Paul Heyman used to be the advocate for Brock Lesnar. So that's why throughout the show on SmackDown, the Usos and Caleb Braxton kept questioning Paul Heyman's loyalty to Roman Reigns, the tribal chief. Because they're like, you know, whose side are you going to pick, Paul? Whose side are you going to pick? Mm. and it was kind of interesting. The Usos came out and asked Paul if he knew that Brock Lesnar was going to return because he had told Roman to send them to the back. And Paul Heyman has constantly said that he is with the tribal chief. But they're planting a little bit of seeds here. They're planting a little bit of seeds here. Later on that night, we got the Bloodlines family celebration, only for them to be interrupted by Finn Balor. And not only Finn Balor, but the Street Profits as well. So the Street Profits came out to confront the Usos because they want the Usos title. So, Phil, this is one of the questions you asked. Do we like tag team wrestling? I love tag team wrestling when it's the Usos versus the Street Profits. Why do I keep wanting to say like the Primetime Players? Like that's so
horrible. Oh, I think it's party. Stop.
I know. Let me stop.
That's racist.
That's so racist. I know.
Or Crime Time.
Yeah, Crime Time. No, it's the Street Profits. It's just because the Street Profits has literally not been on SmackDown for that. Like in the last few weeks, they've just been in backstage packages and stuff like that. But Street Profits versus the Usos, yes. Please,
yeah,
like
inject
it into my veins. I'm here for it. It is comeback season. You know, the Street Profits were former SmackDown tag team champions, and they've been trying to chase back those championships for the best part of the year. I think they lost them earlier this year, so they're calling it take back season, and this is what we've literally been waiting for. Like we've legit been waiting. For this. So this makes me excited. We're also getting Finn versus Roman next week. We're getting Finn versus Roman. And whew, Jesus, Finn Balor.
I loved him.
Yeah. Phil, jump in here. What did you think about the Bloodline and Street Profits and all that?
Yeah, no, I mean, for going back, first of all, I don't trust Paul Heyman for crap. You know what I mean? I think he's lying easily. And I think like,
call him out.
No. Paul Heyman looks like he's the type of dude that's always going to put his interests first. Like, I felt like he was just selling, what's his name? Roman Reigns, a bill of goods at his door. And then like everything, I love Finn Balor's whole entrance. Like he had the X thing and everyone was going crazy for that.
Yeah, they love Finn Balor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought his accent's cool. And then like, the most interesting thing was just like the Street Profit. Oh yeah, Finn Balor. Give me some of that. Yeah. The Street Profits. Like their suits are very interesting to me. They look like the Harlem Globetrotters or something.
Yeah.
Like in red, you know, like, I don't know. There's just something. So like, I feel like I never see people like doing wrestling in like those type of jumpsuits or something like that. Or like, I don't know. I am very curious about them, but it seems like there's not that much built on them so far. Right.
Well, yeah. So they were tag team champions for like the greater part of the year. For most of 2020, if I remember correctly. And then they lost their championships earlier this year. I want to say to like the Dirty Dogs, who was like, oh, whatever. Yeah. Who then lost it to the Mysterios, who the Mysterios then lost it to the Usos. So like nobody, I didn't care about the Dirty Dogs. The only reason they put it on the Dirty Dogs so they could put it on the Mysterios, and the Mysterios is Rey Mysterio. I don't know if you've ever heard of Rey Mysterio, but Rey Mysterio and his son Dominic are they're the first and currently only father son tag team champions ever in WWE. So that's why they put it on them. Yeah. And then they lost it to the Usos because the Usos beat the crap out of them. And they're the bad guys now. So now we're finally getting Street Profits versus the Usos, because the Street Profits, once they lost their championships, they had to find a way to like get them away from the title picture without them losing any real luster. And they managed to do that. They kind of just took them off of TV to really do it, but they're still hot. You saw the crowd reacted to them, because the Street Profits are just it. They're amazing. They're very charismatic together, a charismatic duo. So them versus the Usos, this is about to be like, that's such a banger match. Like, it really is. So we'll see how, we'll see. Maybe they'll get a shot at like Night of Champions or something. But
yeah, still don't trust Paul Heyman though. Still don't trust him.
And that'll be interesting. That's going to be interesting. That story.
That'll be a big story. No, that'll be a big story. Exactly. That's all I was really going to say too. Like, let's see how that unfolds, because it is a situation that's like Paul Heyman. I love that picture of Paul Heyman at the pay-per-view, or even just that image during the show where he's like behind Roman, and it's almost like he was cheating on Brock Lesnar and then Brock came in, and it's like an episode of Jerry Springer. We love it. And I just want more. I want more of that. I want Steve Wilkos in there, like pulling everyone apart. I just want the drama. I want Jerry. Bring Jerry back.
He has
been on WWE before. So let's just do it all over again.
I mean, I kind of see where Paul's coming from a little bit, because like, I do understand that like Brock Lesnar is the alpha male of our species. Like, of course, like, you kind of might have to side with him, you know, is the alpha male of our species. I thought that was funny. Paul, I hope that we do kind of end up in a scenario where Brock and, you know, I keep forgetting his name.
Roman Reigns.
That's such a great name.
Roman Reigns.
I love that. Where Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns like team up against Paul. Cause Paul's just the type of guy that I would like to see lose, you know, like, cause the managers and stuff, like, they never actually end up like in the matchups, right? They like,
Not as much as like definitely during that attitude era. Like, yeah, the managers used to take big bumps and stuff like that, but not necessarily. They don't mix it up like physically, but they definitely like normally get in there. Like, what I'm possibly going to see is like maybe at one point in a match, both Roman and Brock are going to be down, and Paul Heyman comes in with a chair, and then he's like, well, who do I give the chair to? You know what I'm saying? Type of deal. You know, but that'd be something cool.
100% that's going to happen. No. Yeah. That's 100%
going to have to pick. Yeah.
100% we're getting that moment. I'm not a betting man, but I would bet a lot on it.
It's like that classic like sitcom moment where you bring like two girls to the same dance, you know, so you had to like figure out like what you're going to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very like Boy Meets World or something like that. Yeah.
Try and keep them separate.
Yeah.
And then finally at the end of the day, they like run into each other, and then you have to confess, and then it's like a feel good moment and everyone's happy. That's
I don't think that's how this is happening here.
I
think that's how it's going to end. Yeah.
Yeah,
the three of them are gonna just get along, be a tag team, and then they're all good to go.
Yeah, there's room for three, why not?
So this is how you like they built like three separate storylines right here, just like honestly really good. Roman and Finn progressing, Roman and Brock Lesnar,
and then
like Usos and Street Profits, like,
and then meanwhile you still also have Edge, who just beat Seth Rollins at SummerSlam, who wants wants Roman's championship. So a lot of balls in the air, definitely. But it's good. It's like, it's good to see that, like, realistically, a lot of people want the championship. That's how it should be. It's weird when, I mean, and this is normally how it is, but it's weird when it's like, oh, only one person really wants the championship and is challenging for it. When in reality, it's like, no, a lot of people do. And we have like three plus contenders for it right now, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, exactly. So this is why SmackDown is the A show. This is why it's just all amazing, and I just love watching it. So we also got Happy Corbin, which is like, what happened? What? So Corbin shows up in a Bentley. He offers to buy the Money in the Bank briefcase from Big E. Ban Corbin was before this referred to as Sad Corbin or Sad.
You mean like Baron a week Corbin. Ago?
A week ago, yeah, because he was over the past month he had lost everything. He was formerly King Corbin. He lost his title of king. He like lost all his money. His wife left him. His car got repoed. Yeah,
so his mom took him off his cell phone plan.
Yeah, like, yeah. And he was just known as Sad Corbin. And he was going around. He was like a mercenary for hire. Like, some people were hiring him to like try and take out people, and he was failing. And he was wearing, like he said, he was wearing the same shirt with a stain on it. They would barely let him into the building. It's like one of the storylines that, like, it's one of the best storylines running at the time. And then so last week, and so 2 weeks ago, he stole Big E's Money in the Bank briefcase. And at SummerSlam, they had a match for it. Yeah, this is him. This is when you see how he was a disheveled man at the time.
Absolutely.
He's clutching the Money in the Bank briefcase. The Money in the Bank briefcase has the contract in it for whoever can cash it in and get a title shot. And he was distraught, man. He lost the Money in the Bank briefcase at Vegas, but he got $35 somehow. He then went to the casino, turned that $35 into $100. And throughout the like week, he was just showing, he was like, my luck has changed. And he was like in the presidential suite. He's like, I got money now. And then it culminated to him here on SmackDown saying, call me Happy Corbin. Like, he was celebrating. He offered Big E money. This was really, really funny because we are all just waiting for it to just crash and burn. What did you think about what was happening here, Phil?
No, I mean, I think that really, really checks out, because when I was watching it the whole time, I was just like, would I trust this dude? Like, could I trust this person in a white fedora? And like, I don't think I would. No tie, a suit with no tie. Kind of seemed off to me. He kind of looked like he was in like a barbershop quartet or something like that. But like, unless you are like, I don't know, I kind of have to. I don't really know if I can trust him. Yeah, that's pretty funny that like someone's entire, like, you could really track like someone's like life arc through this show. You know what I mean?
Him, it's been. I mean, look, I have issues because. Look, the Vegas thing, like, I don't know. I want to know how much money he allegedly won in Vegas, because I don't think this is going to end well for him. I think that if you're poor, like, you don't want to go use all of your money, like, immediately. You want to save it, invest in something, maybe save up for some real estate or something.
Oh, come on.
I don't know how much he won in Vegas, maybe. But you know what? I'm concerned about his, I am concerned about his spending habits. And I do think that, there should be an intervention.
Yeah.
There really should be.
And he wants the Money in the Bank briefcase so he can then cash in and become the title holder, because the champions get paid money. You know, they get paid big money. Yeah. So that's why he wants a briefcase.
Allegedly.
That's why he's offering Big E all of that. Big E, good sport, very funny. Corbin talked about, oh, you might cash it in and fail your cash in, which is a callback to Baron Corbin himself, won Mr. Money in the Bank like 3 or 4 years ago and tried to cash in and failed his cash in. So he never became the champion when he cashed in. Big E doing some really good crowd work here, referencing like Arkansas's college team, I think it was. Phil, what did you think of Big E here?
Yeah. Wait, which one was Big E? I'm sorry.
Matt, here you go.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of thought that like he was like a weird middleman. I couldn't really understand his vibe. I didn't know if he a heel or is he?
No, he's a good guy.
He's a face. Yeah. Okay. Right.
Yeah, Corbin is the heel in this situation. Yes.
Right. Okay. Right. That makes sense. He was a character that I couldn't really, you know how sometimes when you see a wrestler or just like one of these characters and you instantly see them and you know everything about them, you like understand their personality. He was someone that like I couldn't really, I had a hard time reading what I was supposed to get from him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know. I just thought it was such like, it was obviously an absurd scenario, but it was, it was one that I thought like matched perfectly with what was
Corbin
going on. You know what I mean? Like I thought it like, it was very absurd, but it was also like pretty funny. Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah, exactly. And that's all it was. It was just a promo, just maybe a setup for future something between the two of them. It was all just, I think all it was just a setup, like, this is Happy Corbin. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because I don't know if they'll keep feuding for the Money in the Bank briefcase or anything like that, because they kind of squashed it at SummerSlam. But I think they wanted to document on TV that Corbin is happy right now, so again that we could get the feeling when he goes back to like sad Corbin. So that's what I think that was the purpose of that segment. So
it is smart though that they did that. Like we were talking maybe even last week, Mari, about just the fact that WWE doesn't really lean into the
social media,
like the locations where the wrestlers are. So like with another company, Phil, AEW, for instance, just a couple weeks ago, they had Britt Baker, who's from Pittsburgh and a wrestler, and they had this big celebration. Everyone had little towels and everything supporting her, and she was wearing like the Pittsburgh themed gear, and they called it Britsburg. So like they fully went into that. WWE, I feel like, kind of ignores the location unless there's some reason for them to like really lean into it. And they did that with SummerSlam, where it was in Vegas, so why not have this guy who's down on his luck just start to gamble and get his money back? And that's like a new story beat for everything. So I think that was kind of cool on their part. Like, good on them that they saw Vegas as an opportunity to like advance Baron Corbin's storyline.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So this was fun. It is canon now that Corbin is happy. So we will see how long that lasts. I wonder, it'll kind of be funny. Like, what if he's like faking the funk with all this? Like, what if he won just enough money to make it look like he's like happy and he's really not?
I need specifics. I want a specific budget breakdown. I want to know how much he won exactly, just so we could track like, he has to pay for his flights and like he has to pay for his suits. Like,
and his new phone plan.
He couldn't have won that and his new phone plan. He couldn't have won that much money. He was basically in debt, so he has a lot of bills to pay off.
Yeah, you should be able to like look into like the tax, like everyone's tax forms, like every single specific thing that this character bought, because it's crucial and important to the story. You know what I mean?
I want a spreadsheet.
Give me your bank statements, damn it.
Tax returns.
I thought it's like, I think you make an interesting point, Matt, and I guess I'm curious as to why they don't like what people's locations aren't like a part of their personas, or it's not like really like telecast or like, you know, like people like it's that's mentioned a lot. Right.
And they mention it all the time with their introductions. Right. So it's like, oh, so-and-so from whatever place, but they don't make a huge deal of it.
Right.
And then sometimes, and we've talked about this before, you know, you'll have someone who's in their hometown and the old convention, I don't know if they still do it this way, but like the old way that they used to do it was like, ooh, someone's in their hometown. Okay. They're going to lose. Like, and I don't know why WWE did it that way. It feels counterintuitive. But
because it used to be, oh, they're in their hometown, they're going to win a lot. So then once people expected that, they then started they overdid it, and they're like, oh, now they're going to lose. So it's now an easy way to get, like, if you're trying to get a heel over, it's easy for them if they beat somebody who's in their hometown for them to get that heat, which just, you know, I hate that, because why not build your star and let them go over in their hometown? So it's just one of those things. WWE is just real weird when it comes to hometown stuff and not really getting into it. Like, I heard Matt, they're going to be in Knoxville, Tennessee, apparently in like 3 weeks or so. That's what I heard. I'm not sure, but that's Bianca Belair's hometown. So it'll be really interesting to see if they do anything with her there.
Or even Kane, who was teamed with the Undertaker, super old school. He's the mayor of Knoxville.
Is it really Knoxville?
He is literally the mayor of Knoxville, I believe. And he is.
I know. I knew he was the mayor of a town in Tennessee. I just thought it was a smaller town.
Knox, mayor of Knox County. So I don't know what that means.
I don't either. Okay.
These people, country people on their counties.
Not insulting a whole different aspect.
I know. I did
a
that
whole county.
I'm just trying to get some tweets. Right. I want to get my engagement up. Its county seat is Knoxville, which is the third most populous city in Tennessee.
Right. In Tennessee, that's big. Yeah, that's what I was saying. Like, wow, that's crazy.
He's a big deal. Yeah, look, we learn something new every day. Just a little bit of the politics. Oh, wait, you know what? I lied. He's the mayor of Knox County, and there's a different mayor of Knoxville, and I don't really understand. So we will move on.
We are not here for politics. At least not actual politics.
I'm learning so much today.
And geography, because Knox County isn't the same as Knoxville, even though it kind of might be from what I just read. I don't know. Knox County is included in the Knoxville metro area. That's good to know. What's the population? 478,971.
Oh, I thought you were about to say 478 people.
No. We have a lot of people. We probably have someone listening.
Beforehand. Yeah.
We are never going to research this beforehand or after.
Oh, yeah. So that's it for the SmackDown highlights.
Look at that.
So again, you can find the highlights playlist either in your show description or the show notes.
Mari, are you crying?
No, I'm not. I'm just laughing at how bad we just insulted the county of Knox.
Yeah, come at me. Tweet me at Mari Talks Too Much with the number two. That's my Twitter.
Well, anyways.
That's my Twitter.
All right. Well, this
who
is
like
the
number
is a
two.
Portion of the show where we have to say goodbye to Phil. This is the we are
what?
Ending it.
No,
we've been on here for 3 hours.
We're having fun.
I'm tired.
We can't so we be here for go. Five no. or seven and break a record.
Did you?
No, do you want to break a record?
I did a four hour podcast.
4 more hours.
I did a 4 hour podcast earlier this week. I am done. So, Phil,
only four?
I know, right? Luckily, I haven't got any complaints of it only being a 4 hour podcast. So, Phil, where can the people find you or what have you been up to? Whatever, let our listeners know.
Yeah,
tell us.
You can follow me on twitter.com/listenupphillip. I'm tweeting there sometimes. I'm trying to like the social media game. I like get on and off it sometimes. I'll check in now that I'm like getting into Big Brother, like kind of back heavy in, again. Yeah. Like, yeah, I've been like checking Twitter and stuff like that. So I'm tweeting about that sometimes.
BB23.
Yeah, BB23. Yeah. I'm enjoying a lot so far. And then I'm still writing a lot of movie reviews on letterboxd.com/PNTJR. You can follow me on there. I'm just like, that's where I spent
a lot of time. What's the last movie you reviewed, Phil?
The last movie I reviewed, I think it was, I watched this movie called The Sparks Brothers. It was like this documentary about this band called Sparks made by Edgar Wright, who made like, what is it called? He made like Scott Pilgrim and Baby Driver and stuff like that.
Nice.
It's about this like band that I've honestly like had never really heard of that much. And it like just gave you like their entire like discography lineage and just like went deep into that. And I thought it was like super, super cool.
Wow.
So I recommend,
what's that. Coming up. Have you planned your next movie review?
Yeah. Announce it now.
I mean, you know,
breaking news.
No, yeah. Here we go. Now. It's charting. Well, I think I'm going to see Candyman today. So I saw it
yesterday.
Oh yeah. What'd you think?
I was a fan. I think, you'll see. I think some people won't like it for certain reasons, but I like it.
But you're a fan?
I am a fan, yes. I love the original Candyman series, and I thought this was really well done.
Yeah, well, I hope that will also be a good review. I just watched this documentary. I'm not to be like a big documentary guy. I just watched one that I do recommend is this one called Gunda. I don't know if you guys have heard of this. It's like this documentary is legit just like this camera follows this pig around a farm. It's about this pig and his life with that. He becomes friends with a chicken, and like it, that's the there's no talking in the movie. There's nothing. It just follows this pig and this in his relationship to this chicken. And it is like, it's beautiful. It's so
fascinating.
It's like you get so much like personality from these animals, even though like it's really just like a documentary and you're just watching it. So I'm going to rank.
Wow, that's interesting. Phil is so highbrow for us. Yeah, oh my God.
A chicken and a pig.
And we'll make sure we'll we'll make sure we'll link all your stuff in the show notes and in the description.
And then make sure
we have the correct information.
Yeah, and Phil, wait, what's where can people find that? Just so we make sure that they have the link.
I think it's on Hulu now.
The reviews, I mean. That's what people want.
Yeah. The reviews, you can follow me on letterboxd.com/PNTJR. That's where you can find me.
PNTJR. We like it.
And then I hope to be back on Big Brother podcasts in, I guess, Big Brother Canada 10, if that's coming out. So, you'll probably hear from me at some point around then or something like that.
Or if they do like a
Big Brother OTT style, like Kid Nation on Paramount Plus.
Oh my gosh.
Then you'll catch me doing that.
Oh my probably. God. We're not ready for that. We're not ready for it. Not oh gosh. Next level.
Matt, where can the people find you?
You could find me wherever Phil is. I will just be tuned in there. So you'll find me on letterboxd.com.
Oh my God. Come on.
Other than that, you'll also find me watching Taryn on the live feed update. You'll find me watching Mari talking about Survivor Micronesia this weekend after we get off the podcast. And you'll also find me otherwise at Matt Scott GW on the Twitter and the stereo. Another thing, I guess the one plug that I never plug I'll be playing Among Us on Sunday with Puya and on his Twitch stream. And that's going to be a lot of fun with the different podcasters. It's always a fun time. I wasn't even playing last week and I was like tuned in with it on in the background anyway. Mm-hmm. So a lot of fun, a lot of shenanigans. You never know if there's going to be an RHAP podcaster fight breaking out. If you're into the drama and the mess, you just come check out the Among Us stream on Puya's Twitch, on Taryn's Twitch, on Kirsten McInnes's Twitch. Mm-hmm. It's on a lot of different Twitches. So that's where I'll be. Mari, what about you?
Okay. Well, I was on the Survivor Top 40 Countdown with Rob and Lindsay Wilson. We covered Survivor Micronesia as the fourth top ranked Survivor season. I was also on the Married at First Sight podcast with Asia and Amy. I think that dropped last night, so you can see us there. I will be on the upcoming, I'll be on the roundtable this week on Tuesday. Ooh. So a lot of Big Brother coverage coming up for me this week. Hopefully I do have a little cold, so I'm like trying to fight it here. It's not COVID. you do one cough and people think it's not COVID, I promise. So you can also find me on Twitter at Mari Talks Too Much. That's two, like number two. Also follow us on stereo. So if we do any of our stereo podcasts, you can come in and talk with us live and drop your audio questions and stuff like that. But other than that, you can catch us here every week on the Wrestling Rehab Up podcast. So once again, thank you so much, Phil, for being here. Yes,
it was a pleasure. I had so much fun. I learned a lot about WWE in these last couple hours. So I really, really appreciate the opportunity for you guys to bring me on.
And it was good having your film expertise, a good old Phil Tarantino, if you will. You should change your name, Phil. Phil Tarantino. It works. You don't have to change your initials. So we'll talk about that later. But thanks again for coming on, being part of the podcast today.
Yeah, no, thank you.
I'm not the one who wraps it up. That's Mari's thing. I'm just going to sit back. Mari, how do we end it?
You did really good. And I end it like this. Until next time.
Watch out for
any flying elbows.
Flying elbows. Goodbye. Bye.